Blog Talk Radio.
Black man gets with a black woman, and the only thing on his mind is, how can I get this wench in the bed? A white man gets with a white woman and determines, what's in it for me? Sex is a given. I can get that anywhere. What else did you bring? I'm hoping you all are listening and soaking some of this up because I'm trying to strap your game. After you heard that first call that I play here, after you heard that and then compare it to this and wonder why that dude is 15 years later, 15 years later, and still ain't figured it out. These are two white kids 3 years ago already got it. You know why? Because when Mr. Church showed up, they shut the hell up and listened to somebody who obviously knows more than you do. They weren't trying to save their ego. That boy had gone broke enough times. He wasn't trying to sell his ego. He wasn't trying to save his ego. He was trying to save his life and get something going. Now, soon they began their own ragtag operation, selling homemade juices to fellow yoga students. In other words, they had a proof of concept. They proved that they could sell it on a small level. Once they realized there was demand at a small level, you saw where it goes from there. Story goes on to say, Lawless would rattle off the ingredients needed for an ideal, nutrient-rich blend, while Ethan figured out how to make it palatable with odd ingredients like black walnut husk and lavender. Did you get that? So, she made her own juices, but he's a chef. So while her juices were nutritious, they didn't taste very good. That's what it's telling you. Her juices are nutritious. They just don't taste very good. He shows up and says, hey, you got the brains. I got the brawn. Let's make it happen. Damn, some sex. Let's get some money. We can both buy people to give us sex. Yeah, black man wouldn't have been thinking about business. He'd been thinking about her drawers, and the average black female would have been so consumed with getting him to respect her as a strong black woman that they never would have gotten anything started. The two bought produce at Whole Foods. Notice they didn't make up excuses. They just went out and said, we don't have a plant. Let's just do it in our kitchen. Then poured the juice into empty coconut water bottles. So you see, he didn't want to get cheap bottles. He got some more expensive type of bottles, but you get the idea. He wanted to give it a little bit more flair and make it look a little bit more presentable, which I can understand. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to do that. Hey, obviously it worked. Could he have gone cheaper? Yes, he could have gone cheaper. But you see, he was thinking of this as an enterprise, not as a vocation or a game. He was thinking of it as, hey, I'm running a business. I want my business to be presentable to my customers. I'm practicing economics, not niggonomics. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to pretend we don't see that either. All right. Moving right along. The two bought produce at Whole Foods, then poured the juice into empty coconut water bottles. Soon, they had a team of 10 part-timers from Ethan's beach bungalow near La Hala. I hope I'm saying that right, by the way. Delivering igloo coolers full of bottles. Quote, they were literally taking the product into people's homes and putting it into their refrigerators for them, Church marvels. It was probably breaking a ton of laws. Well, ain't that amazing? 2 years ago, you were breaking a ton of laws. Today, you're breaking the damn bank. Isn't it amazing what happens when you concentrate? You keep your mind on your money and the money on your mind. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Because the guy yesterday was bringing you all kinds of excuses to why he couldn't succeed. And that's what he tells his mama and his girlfriend, why he's still broke, but they need to respect him. And black women who are fat as today want respect, but giving you all kinds of excuses why they can't work out. And then get upset when you do go get a woman who does. Ethan's and Lawless would never have met Church without James Brennan, a restaurant and nightclub entrepreneur. Even that was a chance encounter. With curly, slick back hair, Brennan, 40, looks more like a New York City firefighter than a cold-pressed juice aficionado. A fast-talking transplant from Rockaway, New York, he became an avid customer after his pregnant wife began buying the juice in the fall of 2011. When she mentioned how pricey it was, he didn't blanch. Quote, I was pretty intrigued by something that cost $11 but didn't have vodka in it. You see, he was running a restaurant and realized, hey, what the hell's going on here? If they're able to sell it for this much, look what'll happen when I can put some real money behind this. How big will this be when I start putting some real cash behind it? He began a 10-day cleanse guided by Ethan, supplementing his diet with the juice for another 30 days. In 2 weeks, I was totally hooked, he says. Observing their slapdash operation, he offered to help out. I said, look, if you ever want to do something, I have a lot of resources, cooks and kitchens, whatever. Brennan recently sold a 51% stake of his Enlightened Hospitality Group to Hakkasan. Ethan's and Lawless passed on the offer until a month later. Exhausted after late nights, filling juice bottles, and barely eking out a profit, the two reconsidered. He didn't have to sit there and say nothing to him. You guys look corny. I've got an operation that actually deals with food business. You're making food, you just ain't making a business. You've had two businesses that failed. You're about to have a third. Why don't you get with somebody who actually knows what the hell he's talking about? And come soak up some game. They said, yeah, we'll pass. And he said, all right, you all just sit here, keep looking corny. But here's my card. On the off chance you ever wise up. Brennan introduced them to Church, a local entrepreneur and buyout whiz. The two had co-invested in Flank Marketing, a digital marketing startup. A Cleveland native, Church started as an accountant at Ernst & Young, then got an MBA at Harvard. He spent 10 years helping to turn around Errico, a Cleveland maker of industrial electrical equipment. His equity stake skyrocketed in value from $100,000 to a couple million by the time he left in 1998. Eager to do his own buyout, he moved to L.A. that year and bought Aztec Concrete Accessories, which produces plastic fasteners for concrete construction, for $13 million. When it sold in 2000, investors got a sevenfold return. Lynx Grills he unloaded in 2006, making eight times his initial nut. He had less success with Universal Building Projects, a construction products company bought in 2006, that filed for bankruptcy 4 years later. A self-declared Midwestern meat and potatoes guy, he agreed to meet with Ethan as a mentor. But warned he probably wouldn't like the juice. Quote, I tried it, and it just stopped me in my tracks, Church recalls. But dealing with Ethan, not so much. As Church peppered him with questions about business, asking for administrative passwords for his website, Ethan's clammed up. Annie and I were pretty paranoid at that point, Ethan's remembers. Their fears subsided when Church placed a $1,000 order after the meeting. As the two generations talked regularly, they warmed to each other. Church considered becoming more than a mentor. His wife became a fan, drinking the juice to ease arthritis pain. He and Brendan decided to chip into a pot that totaled $1.2 million. But they worried about how to ramp up the business. Cold-pressed juice is prized because no nutrients are lost in the heat of traditional pasteurization. But because it's raw, it has a shelf life of only 3 to 4 days before microbes begin to spoil it. As a result, Ethan's and Law's never considered selling to distributors since the product would expire before it reached the shelves. But Church discovered high-pressure processing. Did you all hear that? The restaurant guy had discovered high-pressure processing, a method used by rival Blueprint Juice to kill pathogens without heat. How much, now does the average restaurant owner look that much into food services and food producing? Do they look that much into it that this guy did? That he's able to tell them, hey, you got a product here. Yeah, but we don't know how to take it to distributors because we're doing things like they did in the 17th century or in George Washington Carver's day. And this guy said, it's time to put some hustle behind that muscle. Let me show you kids how it's done. A method used by rival Blueprint Juice to kill pathogens without heat. With HPP, high-pressure processing, plastic juice bottles are placed in a machine, then subjected to water pressure of 87,000 pounds per square inch, 5 times the pressure found at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. That kills microbes, but leaves the nutrients intact and extends shelf life tenfold. Ethan fretted that the process would ruin the taste, but when the team put some bottles through an HPP facility in Long Beach, California, and he noticed no change in flavor, he initially refused to believe it had been processed. I still can't taste the difference, he admits. Armed with a scalable model, Church became CEO that May. And brothers and sisters, it is how you go from being corny to being credible. That's how it happens, for those of you who are wondering. We're going to go ahead and take a very brief non-commercial break. I know we're a bit long, but when we come back, we will have your phone calls. This is the home and the haven of intelligent black thought, with the information that you will get nowhere else, strapping you like an Uzi with game tonight. Nobody else is. This is the BlackChannel.net radio, and we will be back. No, I'm not very impressive with that, but I saved a ton of money on music. This is the home, the haven, the stronghold, and the superfortress of intelligent black thought. This is the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And telephone lines are now open. So you will have your opportunity to call in. And if there's anything that you have to say, you definitely can. Here I am. Now, there are a couple of people in particular who, for you, calling in will not just be a good idea. For Ashley, Ashley Holmes, who's had so much to say today, you will be required to call in for this broadcast. It's not optional for you, dear. You have to call in. For Nonchalant Tony, who was pretty good a week ago when he talked to me face-to-face, and as soon as he thought I wasn't looking, all of a sudden decided to go back to his original snake-like form. And last but not least, GP Cola, for all of you, attendance tonight is not just a good idea. It's mandatory. Let's go ahead and open up the phone lines here. Now, if any of these three people are actually on the line, you know how it works. All you have to do is go into the Ustream chat and say that you're there. Once you're on the line, Johnny or Rick will let me know, and you will be moved to the front of the line so that we can make sure that nobody says that, well, I wasn't given an opportunity to speak, or I was on the line, but nobody would let me on. I've proven that time and time again. If you're on the line, you will get on. Now, I can't assure you that you won't say something stupid and make a fool of yourself, but I will assure you, you will get on. And if you don't, that doesn't matter. Not where you three are concerned. Where you three are concerned, if you don't call up, there's a video shanking in your future. Because I got my crystal ball right here. I've got my crystal ball right next to me. And I've been looking into the whole time. And I see your futures. And it doesn't look good. Open up the phone lines. Caller from the 201. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, good evening. My name is Chibuzo. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hello, Chibuzo. What's on your mind, black woman?
Well, I'm not here. First of all, let me clear the air. I'm not here to attack you or to attack anyone, but I do have a question.
Now, when someone starts off a sentence like that, that's the same as when they start off and say, I'm not racist or anything. And then we know whatever's going to come after anything is going to be completely. But by all means, whatever do you have to say?
Okay. So I am a listener of Tommy's, and I did hear about you from his show when you used to go on his show. Now, I understand your position about how you disagree with black men claiming themselves as leaders when they have a non-black woman with them. And I respect that. And even Tommy himself says that he agrees with you on that. Now, the only issue is
I've never said that. I'm going to let you finish what you're saying, but just before people get down the road, I've never said that. But by all means, keep talking.
So you didn't say that black men with non-black women cannot build a black economy, cannot build a black family?
I think I asked questions. I think I said if someone has an alternative view and wants to answer that, I think what I did was ask questions. I think if you go back and listen to the broadcast, people asked the exact same question that you just did, and I think my answer to all of them was, that's what I'm asking you. Can you show me how that happens and how that works? But
and I agree with you. I'm not saying that I disagree with you.
Now that you said that, no, I'm going to come back to that in just a few moments. But now I just wanted to make sure before we got way down the road, I just wanted to clarify a few things on that. Because you're sitting up here saying, and you said, and it's like, okay, before we get 10 miles down the road, by the way, I think if you go back and listen to it, it might have been a little bit different than the way that you took, because black folks tend to half listen, and they just go off and repeat something, even though it's radically different from what was actually said, and other people are listening to you thinking they're giving it verbatim, and that's not exactly what the person was saying. As I said during the article, words matter. So if somebody's going to say, I said something, I at least like it to be exactly what I said if I'm going to respond to that. If someone has a feeling about what I said and wants me to respond to their feeling, then let's just make sure we clarify that this person is not saying what I said. This person wants me to respond to how they feel about what I said. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, I know that your views, you were asking about how a man, a black man who is with a non-black woman, how can he build a black economy? How can he have a black family? And I agree with you on that, and I respect that. And even Tommy says that, okay, well, I agree with him on that, that I'm not, I guess, a fit leader for when it comes to black empowerment. And he's even said countless times, as you already know, that he's not a black leader. Now, the only real issue is that how can you follow it up with supporting someone such as Melissa Ortiz, who has exposed herself as a self-loathing single mother, bastard baby maker, who was glad that George Zimmerman was acquitted, looking down her nose at us black women when she doesn't even claim herself as black.
You called my broadcast to ask about other people, was what you did. You called my broadcast not to ask me about me, but ask me about other people. So far, you've mentioned three other people besides me. So you call my
broadcast. But one of
those
people is affiliated with you,
okay,
and is on your show.
Hold a second here.
Okay.
Pump your brakes, because I'm quoting you. You didn't call to talk to me and about my broadcast. You wanted to call to talk to me about other people. Did you know that that's the definition of gossip?
It's not really gossip if it's actually the truth,
yes,
because he's affiliated with you.
No, if it's the truth, it does not matter. Gossip is when you talk about another person to somebody else other than talking to that person. Now you
and
just
I am
said,
talking with you.
You just said that you listen to them. If you have a problem with something that they said, why is it you are not talking to them? Why are you trying to talk to me about somebody else and what they may have said? Why do you want to talk to me when you started off by saying somebody else said XYZ? But why are you not taking it up with them? Now, that's a very simple question. Why are you not taking it up with them? Because you're quoting someone else and saying, all right, TBA, what do you say about what Melissa said? Why are you asking me about Melissa? Why are you talking to Melissa?
Because I'm not her friend on Facebook, and she
okay.
probably would block me anyway, and she wouldn't
okay.
respond. And other people have saying that they've reached out to her, and she wouldn't respond to
okay.
their messages.
And all of that has what? Your inability to get in touch with her or your fear of trying to get in touch with her, because you didn't say you weren't able. You just say you're afraid. Okay, thanks for at least
I'm not afraid at all.
But,
I never said
no,
that.
No, you just said she would probably block me. So you're scared if you didn't send her a friend request to see what happens. So just go ahead and send her one, go talk to her, and get your answers directly from the source. Why would you want secondhand guesstimations and assumptions from somebody else? Why are you not talking to the source? The source is clearly available, but you don't want to talk to them. You just want to call up people and smear and say things, but you don't actually want to talk to the person and get the answers that you claim you want. You want the answers, why are you not talking to her about her statements? Instead, you're trying to find the first microphone you can.
I'm talking about your statements as well.
And then sitting up saying, well, let me go ahead and do that instead. She is available. She's on freaking Facebook. She's on YouTube. She's got an email address. Why don't you contact her and find out what she thinks?
I already know what she thinks. She's a hypocrite, and I also will
contact
her as well.
Okay, well, in that case, then, you've already determined you think she's a hypocrite. From there, why would you be talking to anybody else about it if you have got all the information that you feel you need? I expect adults.
Haven't gotten an answer to my question, which is why I'm talking to you, because you two are affiliated.
I'm not affiliated with anyone.
But
how am I affiliated?
She's been on your show. She's been on your
okay.
show. She's taking You've calls from different
my...
people on
okay,
black issues.
All, I don't have a
she
show.
Claims she is a non-black woman.
Okay, first of all,
who
I
doesn't
don't
even
show.
He doesn't even claim her. She's a non-black woman.
Last
who's,
time,
who's,
miss. First of all, I don't okay. have a show. I have a broadcast. Did you understand that? Now, I'm turning this up for you so that you can hear a little bit better. I don't have a show. I have a broadcast. Did you get that? Was that clear
okay.
enough? Okay. Second of all, you're on my broadcast. Are you and I affiliated?
But I'm not the ones taking calls. I'm not the
okay,
one.
Okay, she wasn't taking calls either. Would you like to stay on the line and take calls with people? Would you then be affiliated with me if I did that? Mona Lachey stayed on the line and with me, and people called in. Is she affiliated with me? I'm listening. Because
okay.
you're doing
right,
the exact
I
same
got,
thing. You're saying,
hello?
I'm not affiliated. You're doing the exact same thing, but saying, I'm not affiliated. Now, I had Soul in Black called in a few days ago, expressing the exact same position that you claim you're not defending, but you actually are. So all the people who are lying and slick and scared, I don't appreciate cowards. But he said the exact same thing.
Shut up. He said the exact same thing.
Now, he was defending
What am I defending? What am I defending exactly?
I'm still cool with Soul in Black. He's one of my down from day one people. Why would I possibly have a falling out with him for anything like that? Me and him, at the end of the phone call, you saw, we gave dap, everything is still cool, he's still my man. He's still my man. I don't have any type of animosity towards him for that. And like I told him, hey, the things that we can agree on, there's no reason why we should not build on what we agree on. No
sir, at the end of the, I did say that I actually agree with what you said.
This a pro-black Hello? Society. I'm clarifying the position of our people.
Okay.
I'm doing that. Now, if you have an axe to grind with anybody other than TBA, stop being a coward and go call them and go say it to their face.
But I actually have a problem. That's why I'm addressing you. Because how can you say that you are for black empowerment when you are affiliated with a person?
I'm not affiliated
with you are cool with a person that is not about any of that at all.
I already answered
your
question already. Your question was already answered, and you're still coming back saying, but how can you be with, so you have an axe to grind with her. You really just came here to do what hoes do and just vent. Let me say this. I answered your question, but you're still just repeating yourself, which means you don't really want an answer. You just want to come on here because you're upset with her for something. She's high yellow. Maybe you hate her hair. Your question was
No, I'm not upset at all.
You're just doing ad hominem attacks.
But okay.
If you've already come to a conclusion about her, why are you still talking to other people about her? If you supposedly all right.
I have another question.
No,
I have another
don't.
Question.
Actually,
yes, I, no.
No, don't.
No, I do.
No, you don't. Caller from the 951. Live with the Black Channel.
This is Mona Lachey, but I'm at work. I'm just listening, Jason.
All right. I'll go ahead and put you. Oh, Mona, come on now. I need people to press one on this line, seriously. Brothers and sisters from around the world, if you're really just wanting to listen, just press number one again. Let's go ahead and do that real quick. It does work. I promise you all it does. But that is the aforementioned Mona, who I was just talking about a minute ago. Very solid individual. We got somebody who has called in. Mona, another caller from 951. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 951. You're on live. Black Channel. Oh, wait. Now, brothers and sisters, caller from 9517. Why don't we all call them up right quick? As a matter of fact, call them in a few hours, right after midnight, and let's just check and see if they're still there. Because they may be, and we don't want them to be in a mess they can't get themselves out of. So we'll come back and just check on you. Just to make sure you're okay. 951-732-2334. He's been abducted. Caller from the 828, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from the 828, last try, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay. Caller from the 828-280-5241. You're on live with the Black Channel. Just in case there's anything wrong with your phone, I just want to give you an opportunity to go ahead and let us know. But I guess not. No, what it is it's not that. It's just that you've got some people who are upset. And like I say, rather than be adults about it, you know how it is with us in Black society. We got a bunch of bastard babies, and they want to be children about things. So what they would rather do instead is, oh, we have no real power, so I'm just going to see if I can do something else. But I don't have any real power. They have no real power, so instead they're just trying to troll, which is kind of pathetic when you think about it. Black folk used to be better than that. Instead, we got a bunch of bastard babies out here just trolling all over the place. Paula, you're on live with the Black Channel. Yeah, do you see what I mean? We'll see if we can try another one. Caller from the 216, you're on live with the Black Channel. If I have to give out all their numbers, I will. Caller from the 216-459, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello.
I was about to give out your whole number.
Oh, my bad. Hey, no, I was listening in, Jason. I didn't want to.
Okay,
I was just
did you not
in.
Hear when it said if you're just listening, press one?
I didn't press one.
Yeah, you didn't press one, but you've been on hold for 20-something minutes.
I didn't press one at all.
Yeah, you've been on hold for 20-something minutes.
Oh, my bad, but no, I was just listening.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, lay off the mollies for your own good. Just saying, save you little embarrassing country toms like that. Caller from the 562, is this a player or a prankster? You're on live with the Black Channel.
It's not a player. This is Nene, and I was listening.
Wow, seriously? Okay, everybody on the line who is just listening, to take yourselves out of the call queue and to just listen, press 1 on your keypad. That will take you out of the call queue and just put you in a state of just listening so that you're not on the line for me to talk to you. So to anybody that I've already spoken to or anybody who still just wants to listen, all you have to do is just press 1 and you will be back to just listening. You will not have to sit here and be subject to barbs and criticism from TBA, because I refine those things as I go on. Caller from the 845, if you're just listening, hopefully not, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Good evening, Mr. Black Authority. How are you today?
Black first, brother. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Jesus, a black man again from New York. I just got three questions. What event made you into Black Authority? Like, what changed the event? Like, I know you've probably been pro-black all your life or not, but I'm not sure. But what event made you so pro-black, like, to Black Authority, Dutch? Like, made you a driving force to upload videos on YouTube and stuff?
In the words of Louis Farrakhan, you want to know why I am the way I am today? You could say a lace made in America. If I was not in this place, then who knows how it would have happened.
Also, I remember back in the, well, in one of your older broadcasts, you talk about, like, you'd rather have a drive-through supermarket than, you know, actually going in to supermarket and dealing with people. Did you ever make one? Like, did you ever made a drive-through supermarket?
Oh, Lord. Oh, I wish. As far as people who, you know, will just deliver your groceries for you, you have that in pretty much every large city in America. No, just something like that. I'm in a mid-sized city, okay? So a lot of things that you're used to in places like New York and stuff like that, you don't have that here. So, because most of the country is mid-sized markets. But, I mean, it's just, as far as that, oh, man, going into food service is the hardest thing possible. So that would be something I'd have to look into, man.
Also, are you and or you on your Black Truth are going to, like, compile all your videos that you upload on YouTube to, like, one movie, like, to DVD and sell them? Because I would actually buy them.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I can't speak for him. As for me, no. Those are free. I put them out there in the public domain for those purposes. So, you know, I put that out there specifically for the purposes of being freely available to the public. So I would consider that to be a contradiction if I put it in a way of charging for it. So no, I put everything that you see on YouTube is on YouTube because I want it to be freely available. I didn't put it out there because I want to make a profit off of that, or a profit at all. I don't really make a profit off of any of this stuff right here. It's just for the documentary. When you go off and go spend $50,000, you need to recoup your investment. So otherwise, you can't do this very many more times. But as far as that stuff, no. The stuff that is free today, hopefully it'll be free till Jesus comes back.
Okay, that's good.
I'll let you have a word.
Yes, to us Black Daydreamers, because I'm one as well, if we're not going to do it now, we're going to at least support people like Black Authority, other black things, because I'm a nerd. But since I like video games and comic books, I support black games and black comic books. So at least if we're not going to achieve our purpose now, we might as well just help others who are, like Black Authority and other people. And Black First, Black Middle, Black Last, as always.
Black First, brother, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. And you don't have to necessarily be able to do those things. I mean, you know, I don't own a hotel, but if I do, I'm going to try to stay in one of Don Peebles. I don't have to build a hotel, necessarily. As long as you can do that, that's fine. Now, Johnny has told me that I have a call that I need to pick up here. So I'm going to see. Now, he's telling you that he's calling from the 850, and that call is not on here anywhere. So I'm just telling you right now, he's lying. That call is not on here anywhere at all. If his call does not show up here on this board in the next minute, Johnny, ban him. But he is not on this board, so I'm telling you all right now, he is lying. So anybody who wants to call and speak to me is freely available. It's freely available. But like I said, these people are going to come here and try to lie and troll. So he's got 1 minute to call in. If he does not call in within that time, Johnny, no warning, no anything, just go ahead and ban him. And it's just that simple. So, but you're not going to sit here and lie about it. Oh, what do you know, boy? Now, as soon as I said, Johnny, go ahead and ban him, oh, man, he jumped on the line real quick. What happened to you there, Brother Cola? We
not worried about being banned at all, my friend. And well, Blacks First good. PGA.
That's good to hear.
Here's my thing, and this is like the woman that just called you earlier. I can give two shits about Melissa. I know her stance on Black society and on Black people and on Black children. I know Melissa's stance. What I need to know from you is, how do you feel? Why would you put that woman on front stage to address Black women, for one, having three bastard kids, not married, and yet she's supposed to, you get what I'm saying, teach a Black woman something, and she doesn't even consider herself Black. Now, the facts are on Facebook.
Okay,
the
you
facts
just named
are there.
Something. You just said something. You said, why would I put her out here if she's got...
Why would you?
If
right.
she's got
my bastard
bone, children.
The bone I have is with you. Why would
okay,
you
Okay, I'm answering
do
your
that?
Question. Now, be quiet.
Okay.
Why would I put her out here? Because why would I not have her? She's speaking as the voice of authority on that. If she were defending that, you'd have a point. But you don't have a point, because where is she defending what's done? She sits up, as the first caller said, the first caller was a bastard baby maker. Now, she's a fat broodmare hoe slut from the ghetto, and that's why she doesn't like what Melissa said. And you notice that she said, oh, she's self-loathing, because she's not proud to be a single mother. To the bastard baby makers like that first caller, yeah, that's self-loathing in their book. So can
TBA.
You show me?
Can I talk? Can I say something?
No, you cannot, because I'm asking you a question. Can
okay,
you
go ahead.
Again, can you show me where she has ever, because if you're going to bring up her having bastard children, where did you find it out? Oh, wait a minute. You found it out from her. So was she, what is your beef about that? Is she defending it somehow? What is your problem with it?
My beef is, she is not qualified to address Black women about their issues, period.
Okay,
she is
about
not qualified.
Babies. She's not qualified to
she
just
is
about
not qualified.
Babies. Okay, explain.
She doesn't,
TBN, for the
she
last,
is racist,
okay,
brother.
For the last
you
time,
know she racist.
I'm not going to argue with you. For the last time, explain why she is not qualified to speak about bastard babies. Last time.
Because she's a whore. Are me and you in agreement that she's a whore? Is that woman a whore?
Okay, and that's the way that you want to rationalize things. This is you.
Oh, come
this
on,
is
man.
Your,
you,
this
you
is
just
your well-thought-out
intellectual
discussion. This is your well-thought-out intellectual argument. This is his well-thought-out intellectual argument. Well, she's a hoe. She's a hoe. That's his well-thought-out argument. He had all this time. He thought it over, and his well-thought-out argument in response, I put down bastard baby makers, she puts down bastard baby makers. His response to her is, she shouldn't be putting them down because, brothers and sisters, now, I'm still going to ban GP Cola anyway. Like I said, for him, dude, it doesn't matter if you call in or not. It really doesn't. You're going to get this regardless. For you other two idiots, Nonchalant Tony and Ashley Holmes, you two are still on the clock, and you will be required whether you wish to be or not. But these are males who are acting like they've got 10 tons of estrogen. This is behavior that you're more accustomed to hearing from prepubescent females. You see, when I make a decision about somebody, I don't have to go out and announce it to the world. As a business person, I have to work every day with people that I may not personally agree with. I don't have to agree with them on everything. I just have to agree that they're going to deliver the lumber on Monday. I just have to agree that we're going to get the store built on Tuesday. I just have to agree that my order is going to be filled by Wednesday. That must happen. For everything else, I'm an adult, and I treat these people like adults, and I'm going to treat them like adults. Now, if you got a personal axe to grind like he did, why is he not talking to her? Probably because she's already blocked him or banned him for sending, you know, naked pictures of himself, which is usually people's axe with her, which is fine. But do you notice that he never asked me about my position? So what he's saying is that the only people that I can allow on my broadcast are people who already agree with everything I'm saying. And furthermore, since these people have not even, we gave all last weekend. Let me go ahead and put this out there. We gave all last weekend for all these people. Remember, everybody, last weekend we gave a chance for everybody to call in. Everybody had a chance to call in last week. Why didn't any of these people call in then? Why weren't they trying to talk to us then? They could have if they really wanted to. But the problem is that they didn't really want to call in and talk. That's the problem. So when she's here, they refuse to call in. This week, she's not here, and they want to call in this week. But they didn't call in last week. Now, that's cowardice. They didn't want to talk to her when she was here, and they want to talk to a person who can't give them their answers when she's not. And then you wonder why our society is the way it is. And you wonder about that. Second of all, you all probably already heard the absolute ridiculous statement they made that she's not qualified, perfectly qualified to speak on bastard baby makers. That's like a drug addict saying that, that's like telling a drug addict that he's not qualified to go to public schools and tell kids to stay off drugs. Now, if she was saying that being a single mother is cool, that'd be a different matter. She's saying being a single mother sucks. I know, because I'm a single mother. And he's saying, I don't want her saying that. Don't say that. Stop saying that. I don't want you saying that single motherhood sucks. Don't say that. Sounds to me like he sent her a message that probably wasn't very gentlemanly. Got turned down. And now, like a bunch of other people who got turned down, he's on a bit of a jihad. You know, back in my day, a real player didn't sweat something like that. Female wasn't with you, you kept going. It takes the time that he spent tonight hating on her, he could have had somebody else's number. He really, really could have. Just saying. Caller from the 313, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from the 313, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 313-442, you're on live with the Black Channel. Last try. Caller from 313-442-3511. You're on live with the Black Channel. Well, he doesn't want to talk to us, which is really a shame. He had an opportunity to do so. Caller from the 718, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first.
Black first, brother, what's on your mind? Or what's your name, where you calling from?
Master Black, this is Zami Bon, a.k.a. Big Zoe and Nurse Zoe.
Big Zoe, what's on your mind, Black man? A lot of hating going on tonight. I did the broadcast here to talk about serious stuff, and they're all obsessing over females, man. I came to talk about business. I'm talking about business, and they're talking about females. Seriously, brother? I mean, seriously. We're talking about females. This is what motivates them. And then they wonder why I don't fool with most of them. Then they wonder why. Just in some hoe behavior.
Oh, man. The basic thing is this, brother. The brothers that are giving you grief right now, they're forgetting the basic law of life and of manhood. First you get the money, then you get the power. you already know what the next thing that you get as a result. And the people that they're defending or they're coming after or they're talking about and gossiping about, in reality, they're either doing the same thing or they're forgetting the basic the rules of order. Now, my thing is, I liked what you spoke about regarding the business aspect and especially the beverage company, and it hurt me because I had some peers and I, we were working on doing that, but unfortunately we were dealing with people that were not thinking about the money, but they were thinking about everything else. And they ruined our opportunity to do the same thing. And we were 7 years ahead of the game. So my thing is, I've learned from those mistakes. So I only deal with people that have a like mind and that are focused on actually building something and doing something. It's not easy to find like-minded individuals, but the thing is that when you see somebody is not about something worthwhile, you don't get mad at them. You just thank them for revealing themselves, and you keep it moving.
Well, you got to get to that point first, though, is the problem. You have to actually get to that point because most black men are not about building anything.
Hey, brother,
not about building anything. Like I said, do you see how many points in that story where a black man would have gotten derailed?
Yeah. And it was I was amazed by it, but I was not surprised. And it inspired me because do you know the story behind the Golden Crust Empire?
Enlighten me.
Okay. Lawrence Bake, the gentleman behind Golden Crust. His name is Lawrence. I forget the last name, but he wrote a book called The Baker's Son. And the way how the Golden Crust, which is a Caribbean American food chain that spans the country and different parts of the islands, what he did was he was working in corporate America. He wasn't satisfied with his lot in life. So what he did was he was into patties. They do beef patties, veggie patties, all these kind of things. And it was a success on a small scale. So what he did was he was just tired of working for other people. So what he did was he ultimately invested all of his money. He emptied out his savings, liquidated all of his assets, and each family member and friend that he can talk to did the same thing. They invested, built a restaurant, and they also started putting out these patties on a mass market scale. Needless to say, he's now a billion. His business is now in numbers in sales in terms of billions. Simple as that. He gives scholarships out to Americans and those of Caribbean descent in the islands as well as in the United States. And he goes all over giving tours and giving seminars on how people can do the same thing. But he took a calculated risk. And he had people that had the same mindset. They emptied everything out. And they were completely focused on the goal. There's no reason why we can't do the same thing, but you have to have that kind of mindset. Now, with the young lady that called earlier, I know her personally, and she's not a bad person, actually. She's a very accomplished woman. She's sweet. She's smart and all that. In fact, she's not a negative person. She's very chaste. She just is acting out on what she perceives what was said but was not based on reality. When she has an opportunity to investigate it, she'll realize that she was mistaken, and she'll deal with it then. But the bottom line is that
questions.
Go ahead.
Because I don't believe in misrepresenting things.
Yeah.
How tall is she?
How tall is she? That I don't know.
How much does she weigh?
That I don't know.
Have you ever seen her?
Yeah.
How much would you figure she weighs?
I'd say about 140, 175.
Okay. Could she stand to lose a few pounds?
I wouldn't be the best judge.
It sounds like you're being very, very, very charitable right now.
Well, my thing is that I've spoken to her on the phone.
A fat girl sounds a certain way, okay? A fat girl sounds a certain way. And she sounds like she got a big thump. That person's trying to get through a big thump on her.
Ow.
Okay, I'd say, yeah, now we're getting down to the heart of it here. And I know a bastard baby maker when I hear one.
Now,
you don't even have to answer that one. I know a bastard baby maker, and I know the attitude of one when I hear one.
Well, I could tell you one thing. She's not as you would say that by that label, because she's still have not known the touch of a man per se. As per her last conversation.
Okay. All I'm going to say, brother, is don't bet your life on it.
Oh, that goes without saying.
Be that as it may, here's the real problem. The real problem is she's messy. Now, whether you think that her reasons are genuine or not, she's genuinely messy. The only question that matters is why. It'd be the same as if I had a question about whether she was beating her kids, and I'm asking everybody in the neighborhood except her. Whether or not there's a warrant for her arrest, and I'm asking everybody except her, or whether or not she was molesting the neighbor's children. And I see her at work every day. I drive her to work every day. I've got plenty of ability to contact her, but I'm talking to everybody else, telling them, you know, she molested Sharon. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Never actually going to the person and taking up the issue with them. Or then going to her church and saying, why y'all letting this child molest up in here? Well, first of all, we're supposed to let sinners up in here. That's the first thing. Second of all, nobody's got anything definitive on that. Why are you not just going to go talk to her? You're talking to everybody else on earth saying, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Did you hear this? That was what she came here and did tonight. She just wanted to grab my microphone and say, yes, I'd like to let everybody know that I hate Melissa, and I hate that light brown skin and long brown black hair, and I just want to tell you a couple things about her so that you'll hate her too. Zoe, you heard the conversation I had with Soul in Black.
Yes, I heard it.
He's 180 degrees diametrically opposed to me on interracial dating.
Yeah.
Did I go on a whisper campaign against him?
No.
Did I mention his name anywhere else other than that broadcast?
No.
Did I go call up anybody and ask them, why are you still associating with Soul in Black? Now, yeah. She dropped a lot of names while she was on the phone with me.
Yeah.
Have you seen me go ask anybody why any person is doing what they're doing? If somebody does, y'all need to post that up online right now. Show something where I've gone around telling other people, hey, did you know that this person is doing X, Y, Z? Why are you friends with this person? Why do you associate with this person who's doing that stuff? I stated my position on it, and yet she realized. Now, you notice they didn't ask me about my position on it. Did you notice that? They didn't want to know my position. They just wanted to know, we don't like her. Why are you not punishing her, too? Because we want to punish her, but she blocked our lame asses. So why are you not punishing her, too? Well, I've already told you that. I've already explained my position on everything. Yeah, but you haven't punished her, too. We can't get to her, so you punish her, too. But you already know my position. My broadcast is not a place where I go on jihads against people for their videos or their posts. They put up their videos, they put up their posts, and that's it. I make my position clear. And for you to come into my house and ask me about how somebody else is doing things in their house, if you got a problem with them in their house, go knock on the door and go take up your problem with them. But Soul made his position. I stated mine. I think I made a much better argument for my position than he made for his. Let the people decide now. But I'm not going to go around and check his friends list or go see who liked his video on YouTube and go take a litmus test on every single person out there. Why did you like Soul in Black's video? Don't you know that he date them non-black women?
Oh, man.
What would I look like doing that? What would I look like calling in somebody else's broadcast and asking them who has said X, Y, Z? What would I look like if I had made the exact same phone call she made? What would I look like?
You look like the very thing that we detest and we hate in this community. You look like a lame and a simp.
Our job as men is to lead. Republicans and Democrats run in elections. I'm not going to be talking about somebody after I've won the election. I do my job. I win my election. And there, if they want to keep making contradictory points and weakening themselves, they can go ahead and do that. But I've won the election. And now it's time to build.
Bottom line, my brother, is this. You gave some very salient and time-honored advice recently on another individual's broadcast, and I'll leave it at that. And I'll state the very poignant line that all of us that are listening to the sound of my voice now and forever need to be mindful of. Never swing downward. Always be swinging up. And if you're being the person that you're supposed to be and you're standing on principles that are sound based on logic and based on reality, remember, you should only be swinging up. And if you're standing on those principles, guess what? There's no one else to be swinging up towards, and you'll never have to bother wasting your time swinging down. The only other thing...
That's why they're swinging.
Like I said, brother, you're in a place in very rarefied air, just like a number of other people that are in the movement with different messages, different planes, different audiences. The thing is this. You have your lane. Stay in it. There are people that need you. Stay in it. Getting caught and getting sidetracked is going to cause problems for you as well as others that need to hear what you have to say. My thing is, seriously, the civil rights thing with all of its caveats, pluses and minuses, could not have been achieved. Terrorism on black people in the United States and worldwide could not have been ended unofficially if it was not for the fact that Malcolm and Martin were not lockstep together. Each one of them had their purpose. Each one of them had their reaches. Each one of them had their backers. And each one of them had their own voice. This is the situation where we find ourselves now. But the thing is, the stakes are so much graver that it's not even funny. Keep up the work, brother.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us.
And
telephone lines are open. We'll see about getting in a few more calls here. Caller from the 562, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Okay, I pressed one this time, Jason. This is still Nene. So how did I get back in the caller's room?
I'm not really sure. If at first you don't succeed, give up. Well, my first grade teacher, I'm sorry, my second grade teacher didn't have a lot of faith in things. So if at first you don't succeed, just give it up. It's probably going to be it. This is the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. Now, watch.
Hello?
Yes, you're on live.
Hey, how you doing? This is Nonchalant Tony, or just Tony from Atlanta.
Hello, Tony. It seems you've had a lot to say about me today.
Okay.
Most of it not very respectful.
Okay, what is it I said about you?
I'm not going to go over that, son. You know what you said as well as I do. Now, my first question is, what are you doing name drop someone who is not talking about you?
Okay, here's my thing. I just wanted clarification. Yes, I'm not answering your question.
You didn't want clarification. You made a bunch of accusatory statements. That wasn't clarification. That was all accusatory.
I'm not here for that. I'm here.
I'm telling
that.
You what you said. I didn't say what you're here for. Now, it takes a pretty slimy Negro to sit up here and do a whole bunch of gossiping and throwing insults and greasy talk behind
my back.
And when you're here, all of a sudden, well, I'm not here for that. Now you seem like a snake. At least be like GP Cola, and at least be a dumb nigga that stands by what you say. At least be like him. At least he went out with his boots on. Now, you and that payphone, you know, life would be a little bit better for you, maybe, if you did things a little bit differently. I didn't know they even still made payphones. And I'm in Louisiana. Sounds like Tony here has gotten disconnected.
No, I'm right here.
I said, how's your payphone is what I said to you.
Not on a payphone, just outside, because people in the house
sleep.
Okay,
just
right
outside. There. Okay, that's right.
All right, so either way, the whole thing
I'm here right now.
Oh, and I'm speaking. The whole thing
now,
with Melissa.
What kind of man goes around talking to other people about women? What kind of man does
that? My thing, I wasn't talking about her. And I sent you the messages I sent her. I sent you the messages I sent about her saying that I was not against her. I said that
you were talking about
me. Readily identify.
If you had said something just about her, you and I would not be having this conversation right now, just like
I said, Tommy Sotomayor 3, Tommy Sotomayor, if Jason Black apologized, would everything be cool?
You left a bunch of messages. That was not the one I'm talking about, and you know that. That's not the ones
which
I'm
one?
Talking
which
about.
Which one? I seriously don't realize the one you're talking about.
You
but
were
okay.
Sitting up here
my
talking,
whole thing, I wasn't.
Excuse me. Enough talk. You were talking to people in general and saying, is Jason going to say this? Is Jason going to say that? Now, if Jason going to say something, I'm here right now. So you want to hear Jason say something? Say it to my face. I'm here right now.
Okay, Jason,
then
is my word to you. I have nothing against you totally at all. Period.
Now you're lying.
Seems like it's going to be nice. Your work seems like it's going to be nice. I will still
now you're just
buy. No, I'm not cowering. I'm saying I will buy your work. Now, what I wanted to clarify was that people think that I was against Melissa Spieth, and I wasn't. I said that if maybe they could readily identify with her, then maybe they wouldn't be going off. I also sent her a message that stated that. And I also sent her a message that said, hey, you get with Jason Black and Tommy, maybe they can help you out and get your own thing going. And, hey,
and
why did
you not
button.
Talk about the messages where you said, well, it seems pretty bad here that she would say something like that. Wonder who's going to defend her.
Yeah, you, because you've been defending her.
Okay, now you just said you didn't say anything like that.
Well, everybody's been asking why you've been defending her. Like
yeah.
I privately
didn't
messaged you before.
Didn't take very long for that to come through, did it? Didn't take very long for that to show up.
Okay,
first
Jason,
he lied,
I did. So.
And then he slithers on the ground and says he didn't say stuff like that. Now he's saying, well, okay. You know what? The last time you called in, it was because you're cowardly. And that was why I had you call in.
It wasn't cowardly. I said I did not go against that lady. I had nothing bad to say about her.
I'm telling you what
you
did. I'm telling you what you did.
She could get the right help to get her message out, and people probably just don't agree with her because they cannot readily identify with her. And I got caught up in one of your questions where I could not answer it properly. Okay, cool. I was wrong there. What I'm saying here is that her character, to say, hey, this guy wasn't against me, he was actually rooting for me, that's all I wanted, period. So I'm not here to say, hey, Jason Black, you fucked up this, that, and the third. No, I'm trying to say, hey,
you already said enough online. I'm telling you that you already said enough online, and it was much worse than that. You and I would not be having this conversation if all you had been doing were asking innocuous questions. You were making accusations. You were right there with the rest of them with the, ooh, she's a hypocrite. Ooh, that, look what she's saying. Who going to try to defend this now? You were right there with the rest of them, and now you're lying and trying to act like, oh, I didn't say it like that. Yeah, you did. And it wasn't about her. It was when you tagged me in it. And
you,
what I'm supposed to do, as if I'm somehow associated or have some part in something she said.
Cool.
Now, what
well,
I don't have
a
part in what anybody says. You say a bunch of stupid stuff, and every time you get on here, it's stupid. But who's going to blame me for that? Those are your stupid statements, Tony. If people want to know why you said something dumb, they need to contact Tony, not me. So why would I tag you in a post that somebody else made a statement about? Why would I do something about that? Just because they're on your friends list? My friends list has got almost 4,000 people, well, over 4,000 people in followers. So we're just going to go down my friends list and do a litmus test on every single person? What kind of lifeless individual would you have to be doing something like that?
I guess a snake, right?
I'm asking you, does that kind of thing? Who goes down somebody's friends list and says, okay, this person said something I don't like. Let me check everyone that they talked to or have posted up and see, I didn't like what they said. Let me see if I can get you to not like them too. Because I made up my mind.
I'll tell you this much. I'm not even sure this is out there. This is guy, Son Goku, right? And I sent him a message saying,
okay.
hey, so-called battlefield's already been set.
Asking about you, and you don't want to talk about you. You have a habit of throwing everybody else's name around except your own. Did you know that?
When I wanted to say what I wanted to say, you didn't want to hear it.
You're correct.
And this is your show, so, you know, try to give you that
it's
respect on that, but... Oh, I apologize. Your broadcast.
Tony, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from. I figured out why you're here. Don't ever contact me or call back again.
No problem.
Did you hear that?
I have no problem with that, bro.
Go away.
Yeah.
If there is one thing in this world that I will not tolerate, it is a coward who tells the enemy one thing and then comes back to me smiling and lying in my face. Is that the lowest type of life? I call it life, if you want to call it that. Okay, this call's been holding for a while here. Caller from the 678, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from the 678. You're on live. They're having a little bit of difficulty here figuring out what they want to be in life. Caller from the 678-577-1521. You're on live with the Black Channel. Isn't that amazing? Once you give out their number, then they want to hang up the line. Well, good luck on that. 678-577-1521. Now, this is how worked up and how animated Negroes can get behind something that doesn't make any money, doesn't make a profit, doesn't do any of that. I do this because this is what I've always done. I talk to my people. These individuals are doing it because we have too many social programs that allow people to sit at home with no job and no income, and sit on the internet for days on end. That's how this happens. And then you wonder why we're in the position that we're in as a people. caller from the 786. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 786 is trying to make their own conch, it sounds like. Which is a pretty interesting way to make it through life. Last try, caller from the 786-908. You're on live with the Black Channel. Although if you had a life, you probably would be doing something different than sitting on the internet, acting as if you're being disruptive. 786-908-7596. And even after the broadcast, after this is recorded, definitely anybody who wants to give them a call,
Hello? Definitely do that and see for yourself. Oh, hello?
Yes, I've already given out your number.
No, I'm not supposed to be in the queue.
Okay, well.
I'm just listening.
This is what happens when you're doing mollies. You would have heard your number being called, and you would have known that you're not in the, that you're in the queue. But also, when you heard that unmute.
I have a point to make.
You heard that unmute.
Anyway.
That was talking to you. Just so you be aware. When you heard unmute, that was talking to you.
I'm sorry, brother, but yeah, I just wanted to listen.
But in my case, it means that you're free to talk. You're not free to talk anymore. But you are quite welcome to get together with your nearest acquaintances, and you all can talk all you like. You know, ever since I started this incarnation of the Black Channel, all the bastard babies and dope smokers and tokers, they don't talk about money. They don't talk about accomplishment. They don't talk about building anything. They love talking about females, you know, petty things. A female is either what you're born or what you're born next to. These are Negroes who are fully grown, and the thing that motivates them most, males and females, yeah, it has kind of a lesbian vibe to it, doesn't it? The thing that motivates them most is females. That they're motivated by. Business? Talking about business bores them. And this is why Black folk don't do very well in business school. Just saying. Caller from the 510, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller 510, I hear you playing with yourself over there.
No, I was on just calling in to listen. This is Jackson Briggs.
Jackson, if you're listening.
Yes, this is Jackson. I was just calling in to listen.
Why didn't you press the number one again?
Oh, I did. It said you're off the queue, but somehow I was still on the queue. But I was just calling in to listen.
Maybe I'm just getting slammed by calls tonight. I mean, I do have a bunch of them on here. Try it again then, brother. Good grief. That is really, really bizarre. I do have a lot of calls. I don't know what it is. It's about my broadcast. I have a bunch of calls. And then funny stuff just happens to Blog Talk. I guess I just slammed them so much. And I'm just going to rethink about that there because I have been jumping on people about that. But it might be maybe they are telling the truth. Maybe they really are pressing the buttons and just nothing is happening. Maybe it's just got so many orders to process that they're just not able to do it. Let's try a new area code here. Caller from the 336, you're on live with the Black Channel. We'll give them a moment here. Okay. That was really, really strange. I'm not, if they call back in, I won't let them slide, but I will keep up with your number for posterity's sake. Now, just in case you have trouble in the future, we'll know who you are. This is the Black Channel radio program, the home of intelligent black thought, and we definitely want to speak to you. Caller from the 704, you're on live with the Black Channel. Another pocket dialer, really? Caller from the 704-891, last try. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay. That caller was from 704-891-0448. Now, do you see how many people here have taken time out of their weekends to call up and play on the phones? Do you see how many have shown up with that? And if you all want to know why we can't get anything done, if you want to know why we're in the position that we're in as a people, that's why. Now, I didn't hang up on those callers. They just hung up once I started saying their phone numbers. They hung up. I guess they figured that if they hung up quickly enough, then you can't see their number. But the problem is I got records of all your numbers. And this is what happens with Black folks. We're not able to accomplish very much because this is what the adults are doing. And then you wonder why the kids are so screwed up. Well, no, we actually don't wonder why the kids are so screwed up. We know exactly why the kids are screwed up. We're just hoping that nobody else does. We're just hoping that nobody else notices that you are, and these are people who have kids, by the way. I don't have children. These are the people who have children. And this explains that, too. If you're on the line, by the way, like I say, it's really kind of stupid and silly. But if they're on the line, they won't be allowed to call back in again. So be a dear and just drop all their calls. And when they do call back in, just drop them again. If they do try to call back in, if you are on the line and we've already given out your number, it's time for you to go to bed, kids. The street lights are on. We're not interested in speaking to you. That's what happens when you're dumb. People just stop talking to you. Caller from the 909, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 909-586, you're on live with the Black Channel. Yeah, they're clicking away on their track phone. Well, caller from 909-586-0320, hopefully you will get a better phone in the future.
I'm just listening. This phone is $720, bro. Hopefully you'll get a better voice. Just keep talking.
You're
keep
on
cooning,
my
baby boy.
Wow.
Keep cooning.
That was really helpful. 909-586-0320. And you have nothing better to do with your time?
I'm just listening in. I want to hear Melissa. I want to see how she tried to rebound from this.
586-0320. That's very interesting. Just in case for people who are listening to it after the broadcast, his number is 909-586-0320. Just in case anybody wants to call him and find out, dude, what a lame you are. Don't you have something better to do with your life than call up people and just sit on the phone? Don't you have something better to be doing? And the answer is no. He really doesn't. As I said, you'll wonder why the kids are messed up. Well, what I'm also going to do is after this broadcast is over, I'm going to make a list of all these people, and I'm going to put their numbers out so that everybody knows who they are. Because I think if you go through this much trouble to try to get attention, then people should know exactly who you are and should know exactly where you are. So definitely I don't have a problem with that. But if you want attention, you came to the right place. I can make sure you get attention. It's probably just not going to be the kind of attention that you were hoping for. It's going to be a different type of attention. But I have no problem whatsoever making sure that you get maximum attention. So to everybody who is here, just understand, this. Every time I keep typing number down, it isn't because I'm bored. It's because I'm going to make sure that since you want attention so much, and I've got a reach of around 50 or 60,000 people, let's just see how much attention we can really get for you. Since you're so starved for attention so much, let's see what happens. Since you want attention, game on. I'll make you famous. Now, if you just talk to me, well, I see no reason to make you famous. I'll just converse with you. But if you call in for attention, don't worry, baby boy. I got you. I got all the attention you can handle. Caller from the 562, you're on live with the Black Channel. And just
Jason, it's me. It's Nene again. You got me again. I don't know why it shows me your phone, but I pressed one like you said, so I don't know what's going on.
You might want to press it twice then, I guess. Put her back on hold. Let me go ahead and add your number over here just so I make sure I'm not talking there. I don't know what it is. Well, it's probably because there's a million of y'all on here. Because you disappeared, and then you just came back up again, I guess, because it's showing that you've only been on the line for a short amount of time. So you disappeared, and I just guess you just came back up. So I guess I got so many people listening that it's putting them on hold. I mean, it's putting them in the queue and then bumping them back over, I guess. I don't know. Let's go grab one more that's been waiting for a while. Caller from the 832, you're on live with Black Channel.
Black first, Mr. Black.
Black first, brother. What's your name you're calling from?
This is Omekian Descendant calling from Houston, just listening to the show, and they got you sidetracked tonight. I don't know what's wrong with these black men out here.
Yeah. Well, black men and black women, especially the men, these are not the males. This is what they would rather talk about. I talk about building an empowerment. I get crickets in the audience like last night.
Yes,
they
sir,
want to talk about a female. They want us to stop talking about building so they can stop and talk about females. Because
then they should bring it to Melissa. Bring it to her if they got questions. But you did a whole show where they could have brought it to her, but they didn't till now, and it just makes no sense.
I did three broadcasts. I did three broadcasts where I advertised that she was on. The last one was, what, Wednesday? And
yeah.
They never did call in. They wait until, okay, is she gone? Because he was on yesterday. Was she on? No, she's not. Okay, I'll call in today. This is the caliber of black males and females that we have. And then you wonder why 70% of prison inmates were born to single mothers. Then you wonder why the dropout rate is so high. Then you wonder why we have the situation that we have.
Exactly.
And people actually
they need to turn down the emotions and turn up the logic. Does this really matter in the scheme of things? Does this help us build? Does this help us do anything that we need to do as a race before we end up in the extinction side of the lane? It doesn't.
Yeah, but they're not interested in building. They're not interested in that. I mean, did you hear any of these people? Did any of them sound like they could make a house out of popsicle sticks, much less be able to build a business? And the answer is no. I mean, they call in, they sound like they've been drinking a fifth of gin and smoking a pound of weed, and then they call up here, yay. And another thing you was doing. This is the caliber of individual there. And then you wonder, hell, white supremacy doesn't have to hold us down. Take a look at the team.
Yeah, it's in tatters, shambles at this point.
They don't have to beat them down. They are completely adverse to talking or seeing about anything substantive. They are completely adverse to that. don't want to hear
it. I don't think they got the memo where black men are supposed to be striving for power, ownership, and control, and domination. That's what we're supposed to do. Everything else is not even a secondary. It's like a third or fourth or fifth worry. It doesn't matter. If you have a disagreement with her, fine. Who cares? That shouldn't make or break your day as a black man. You need to be getting a business. How do I get a loan? How do I get capital? How do I do the research on my market and my customer base and things like that? That's what we're supposed to be doing.
But we can't get around to that because we're obsessing over what a female is doing. That would be much, much more fun for us to discuss than building something on our own. That we don't want to do.
Well,
and then you wonder why we are in the condition that we're in.
Well, you know, it's
it scores them. I mean, do you see how many numbers I've been through tonight? Do you see how many numbers of people have called up and they're playing on the phone or whatever the case might be? Do you see that's the caliber that we're dealing with here? This is what the crack baby epidemic has done. This is what the crack baby epidemic has done. They're not interested in
that campaign was a hoax in the 90s and 80s. I guess not.
Man, it's real. It is 100% real out here. We talk about building, and they clock out, they sign out. They can't get them to even hold a coherent thought long enough to discuss building. They can't even pay attention long enough to do that. And we just legalized weed in Colorado and Washington. We just legalized it.
And it's like, I think you said it, and I know Dr. Umar said it. We have to be able to put our differences, petty differences, aside enough to agree on what we're going to build. These are what's called petty differences. That means they don't really amount to a hill of beans. We have to put that aside and say, this is what the black community, race, whatever we need to do, got to get done. We have disagreements. Everyone does. A wife and a husband have disagreements, but they're not going to burn their house down because of it. They're going to still pay the rent. And that's what we have to do. We got to put our... You know, I just don't know. I just don't get it. I've been real disappointed with the call in from the males, the females tonight. We're not... It's like we don't want to hear build, acquire power, acquire wealth, acquire ownership. We don't want to think about that. No, Melissa Bliss, all this, it doesn't matter. You did
I mean,
that
at
show.
Least,
cool.
If you're going to call my broadcast, at least talk to me about me.
Exactly.
I mean, at least talk about me.
Like, they should have been asking, are you putting, like, I want to know, do you think the movie might hit, your movie when it comes out might hit the Texas market? And if so, what city? Do I need to travel, you think? Or, you know, like those type of questions, things that might be pertinent to what you might want to know about Jason Black. You know, when the documentary comes
yourself.
Out.
I mean, I was talking about the guy who had no idea how to bottle stuff. I started off the broadcast talking about it. Let's talk about your ideas. But they don't want to do that because they have no ideas. And then you wonder why we got the situation that we do. Now, just to give you some idea here, okay?
Okay.
The imbecile who called in earlier, Nonchalant Tony, first post on his Facebook is some black man and some black woman in their kitchen dry humping in the middle of the floor. Second post, Buff Rhymes touches. Third, Dumb It Down by Lupe Fiasco. How ironic. Third, Lupe Fiasco, I'm beaming. Fourth, pregnant girl asking black guys for sex. I mean, this is one episode. I'm just going straight down the line reading in a row. He has a meme. Your friend just got smacked by his mom in front of you. Next one, new birth, dream merchant. Another one, show some chick who was a deformed rear end with the meme, female be like, I got booty. another meme. The very next thing, dear middle finger, thanks for sticking up for me. What I'm saying is, at what point you can see what this guy's thought process is during the whole day, and the answer is absolutely nothing. That's the problem. And it's time for black people to lose their appetite for talking about garbage and gain an appetite for talking about something substantive. If people are on YouTube and all they can do is make videos about celebrities, what does that tell you? I didn't make a movie. I didn't make a video about celebrity Nicki Minaj. I made one about Malcolm X and our place in black.
Exactly.
And you knew that's what was coming. These other people are just out here talking. I'm not angling for a TV show. I'm trying to help with the building process. And it's very much out of style right now, brother. It's out of style.
And it's unfortunately going to lead to our destruction if we don't wake up and look at what our counterparts are doing. When I go through this town, they have an Indian section. Everybody has their section, but there is no black people section, even though we're, I think, 50 to 60% of Houston, I think. I'm not sure, but I think we're like a large swath. But we don't have a designated section with businesses established in it. If it's not a barbecue shack in the back of someone's truck with a pit, that's all. We don't have any dentist offices. We don't have any lawyer really offices conglomerated. We don't have any major businesses that are just aggregated together. They have street signs down here with it in English and Chinese, or English and whatever they speak in India. But they have their, that's how much power they've accumulated. They have the signs that the city is paid to put out in their traditional language. We're losing the battle.
And we've been here for 500 years and barely got a stand, only got street signs named after somebody who's been gone for 50 years. None of the houses on the block we own. Just renters. Because we obsess over women. And we don't obsess over power. I'll let you have last
one. We should be obsessing over power. You know, and you hammer that message, you hammer it, and it's just, you know, thankful that you keep hammering it. And there are some getting it, because I'm turning on different associates I have to your program and trying to get people to open their mind view, you know, trying to get the black men and black women I associate with to open their view. We need to be getting power, not talking about, you know, Atlanta housewives or, you know, strip club queens or just ridiculousness. It's just ridiculous. We need to get our finances, our health, and our mental in order. We should be thinking about dominating everything we can, everywhere we can, as much time as we can, and passing that down through generation to generation, because that's what was done to us. We got dominated. We got commandeered. We got humiliated. That's what we're getting. That's what we're receiving. That's why you can watch 12 Years a Slave and not Hannibal Barca.
And that's why you can watch Hannibal Barca and just can't make it.
Yeah.
You're waiting for white folk to do it for you. Thank you very much for checking in with us here tonight, brother. I do appreciate it, and we appreciate having your call. I'm going to go ahead and check our phone lines here. It's too difficult to get black people interested in this kind of thing. It's too difficult. They would rather talk about everything else. They don't want to talk about building. Even when I discussed people interracial dating, it was in the context of building. I didn't talk about it because I want to get in your personal business. I talked about it in context of, okay, but how does this make you fit to make judgments for our future? That was the context. That seemed to skip a lot of people and took absolutely no notice of it. They want to know if we can stop talking about adult topics and get back to talking about juvenile things. Like, can we talk about females and that hoe over there? Yeah, we want to talk about that hoe over there. do you want to talk about that business over there? Did you all know that I am the only long-running broadcast anywhere? I am the only one anywhere that focuses primarily on and goes in-depth about building black businesses and building black socioeconomics. And what you saw me do at the beginning of the broadcast, where I take you step-by-step through the process, I am the only one that does that. Nobody else does what I do. Because they're not interested. They would rather talk about gossip. That will hold their attention. Adult conversation, not so much. They rather talk about gossip. And then I talk about something else, and that just throws them. That just throws them. They're not really interested in talking about an adult anything. And then you wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Caller from the 601, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hannah Lee from Mississippi.
Hello, Hannah. What's on your mind, black woman?
Well, first of all, I would like to apologize for what I said to you on Facebook, you know, Hannah Lee, whatever. But, yeah, pretty immature, silly, but let's move on. But what I would like to, first of all, your points about business, I think they're very enlightening because even though I'm young and don't really have any money, I plan on starting a business. Well, I plan on in the future. Yeah, but but what I want to talk about are interracial relationships that are detrimental to black people. And I would like to do so by talking about my personal experience I had. Is that okay? Hello?
Okay. Hannah, this conversation is becoming painful.
Hello?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
I'm sorry.
This conversation is becoming painful, Hannah.
Okay. I'm sorry, but do you hear anything I said before?
I heard all of it, and that's precisely the problem.
Okay.
Hey, here's the thing, okay?
Okay.
If you're going to make a point, get there as quickly as humanly possible, because we don't really have the ability to go through biography, and I got a lot of people on the line, and some of them actually want to talk to me. Well, some of them don't, but some of them actually want to speak to me. So if you get to a point, sprint to it.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I just want to talk about how interracial relationships are detrimental, how I think they are detrimental to black people, by sharing a personal experience that I had throughout my life, and maybe it will help people to understand why it isn't a good idea. Okay. Okay, let's get right to it. I like to write, and I like to write stories about supernatural things and things like that. And my brother, he likes to draw. He does it very well. But going through that process of writing, I realized that I was not able to, let's say, in my mind, write out a black person in a positive light. I could never really, let's say, draw a black woman, a black man in a positive light, because in my mind, they were always unattractive. And so I questioned myself, well, why can I do something like that? And I found the reason, inferiority complex. Got over that, and I began to do it, and I convinced my brother to try to do so also. And so also his drawing. And my point is that I asked him to try to draw a black person for this comic anime manga we're going to make, but he could not do it because he had an inferiority complex that he was not able to push himself to do that. And I think interracial relationships are the cause of that in some way. Because you only see, you know, the lighter as positive and what, whatever. But, yeah. So
well,
what do you think about that?
I think that your brother may want to go back to art school, because I'm an artist also, and drawing is drawing. If he has trouble drawing black people, he might want to check his artwork skills.
Okay, but I don't think he gained the point. Excuse me, but the point was that he was not able to do it because he saw them in an unattractive light. That's the way I saw black people through my writing.
Okay, well, if he's an artist who refuses to draw black people, he's got a bigger problem than artwork.
That's my point. We're both two very young people, and he has a great talent. He can draw. The point is, he was not able to push himself to be a black person in a positive light to draw.
Yeah, that's more. Something. He's got more issues than just that, okay? I suggest you go take him to go see Ilyana Van Zandt. But thank you very much for your call, Hannah. Does anybody know what in the hell she was just talking about? Okay. I do know what she was talking about. Is there anybody else here who was not also put to sleep by that? Not being rude, I'm just saying. You know that broadcast? You all know that broadcast where people laugh and joke and make nice with their callers who are skidding off the road? You know that broadcast? Just thought I'd throw that in there. A lot of broadcasts that do that, that ain't me. See if we can try to pick up a few more calls here. Caller from the 412, you're on live with the Black Channel.
This is Larry from Pittsburgh. How are you, sir?
Blackbird's brother Larry, what's on your mind?
Well, you know what? I don't know what's on my mind tonight. I'm just going to keep it honest with you after listening. See, I've been jumping in and out of the show, okay?
I tried to get you earlier. I thought you were playing on my line for a minute there. I was about to just give out that number for a freebie.
Oh, no. I don't play, no. Oh, no, I was doing stuff. But anyway, okay, when I first listened to the show, it was like 8-something, okay? You was talking about how these people make this juice for how much? I forgot how much, $11 a bottle? Okay.
It's $9 now, but yeah.
$9.11, okay. And... you know, just listening to that made me feel like I suck. I'm just going to keep it real. I suck. Like, great. All right. Then listening to the show some more, I heard the one chick who called up who had an issue with Melissa. Then the dude who had an issue with Melissa. And then everybody else not paying attention that they're online or not. And then Blog Talk acting stupid. As Blog Talk does, because you're not the only show that goes through this, by the way. And no one's really talked about what you initially, from what I heard when I tuned in, what the show was about. How these people, a surfer dude, former chef with some chick, hooked up, and now they're worth $50 million. And then last night's show would do with 25-cent ball of water. If he was getting his bottle of water for 25 cent, he marks it up by 75%, which is 75 cent. That's a dollar. I mean, he can make some money.
But here's the thing: if Ashley investigated it, he could get the box for a nickel or 10 cents and sell water for a dollar. That's my real point, brother. If you had looked into that just a little bit more. Because you say you looked into it. In reality, he hadn't actually looked into it at all. Look, he made that number off the top of his head, okay? Because when I asked him questions about it, he couldn't give me any more detail. No suppliers, no anything. So he just made it up off the top of his head. But here's the thing. Black men are very good for hustling and very good for trying to bull jive their way through life. And if I just keep talking, people will not realize that I don't actually know a damn thing I'm talking about. So I would just try to baffle them. and make it seem like I know it by speaking in generalities, but because he never goes into detail, that's the proof he doesn't have a clue. Now, if he got the bottles for 10 cents apiece and sold water for, I mean, you have to sell it wholesale, so he really had to sell it for like 50 cents, okay? But even still, my point is, what was stopping you? The real question is, what was stopping him? And what stopped him was that he doesn't have any collateral. He has no money in the bank. His credit score, you know, looks like a war memorial. And then he's telling you about what the banks won't do for him. And remember what I said before about, for any of y'all, if you've ever seen Amos and Andy, and go take a look at what's his name, Kingfish, is that they say that was stereotype and whatnot. The problem with a stereotype is that all stereotypes are rooted in truth. Or should I say, have an element of truth to them. That's why they're offensive. And Kingfish, is he not an archetype of most black males? Especially that scene, there's one episode in particular where Kingfish goes to the bank. And see what he does when he walks into a white folks' bank. See the way he acts, the way he talks. I dare you to listen to that call last night and listen to Kingfish and tell me which one's actually the comedy routine. I challenge all of y'all to go back and listen. Go watch that scene from Amos and Andy with Kingfish at the bank, and then listen to that caller last night, and I challenge you to figure out which one was entertainment and which one was scripted and which one was not. I dare you to do it. Brother, you watched a microcosm tonight that demonstrates precisely why we are the poorest and least powerful people on earth.
You know what, Brother Jason, I've known this for like a while. And I don't know. I had like a brief conversation with a friend today, and I even told him, I'm like, sometimes I just feel like I just want to cash out and just leave and go do my own thing. And just, I don't know, I just see the house is burnt. It's not even burning anymore. It's just burnt. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know, it's just, I don't know what to do sometimes. I'm just going to keep it 100% with you. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm out here in Pittsburgh, and I don't know when you're talking about these Negroes and how lost and backwards they are, you know, and listen to all the other callers call in from different cities. It's, like, it's basically the same thing. It's franchised niggerdom. No matter what city you go to, you got the same thing.
I recorded a good bit of my documentary in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically in Philadelphia.
Oh, that dump. Anyway.
Brother,
I've been out there.
All I can tell you is I've been up and down your block.
No, Pittsburgh and Philly's two different things.
Yes, I know they're two different things. But as far as what black folk are doing, no, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
There's no difference between what brothers are doing in Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia. No difference at all. No. And that was the reason I didn't go to Pittsburgh. I was like, I don't need to. And you know why? You know why I know that?
Why?
Because there was nobody, absolutely nobody in Philadelphia was talking about Pittsburgh as if it were the suburbs or better or really had it happening. Nobody. Nobody.
Because it's not. Pittsburgh.
That's the point.
I'll say this real quick. There's two sections, really, Bellsouver, but two sections of Pittsburgh where black people live. One's the Hill District, and the other one's Homewood. Long story short, the Hill District hasn't had a supermarket there in 30 years. About 30 years, something like that. They just recently built one, and now they're having problems with the community coming to support it. Homewood hasn't had a supermarket in 20 years. Okay. And the communities here cannot pull their money together to build a grocery store. They have to leave their own neighborhood to go to a grocery store. And this has been going on for eons. Now, I've been living in Pittsburgh now for 31 years. and it's the same repetitive thing. And downtown they built a new stadium for the Penguins, and the black community came with their hand out, and the white folks didn't want to give them no money. I found that funny. But that's what goes on here in the microcosm.
I don't find anything funny about it. That's the problem, is I don't see it as funny.
The only thing I found
funny... I get your point, and I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is I don't find anything funny about it.
Oh, it's depressing.
I don't see anything funny in there. I get your point, but, man, brother, I mean, seriously, it's 2014. And this is what we're doing in 2014.
Mm-hmm. No, this is what they...
They are
sorry.
The middle of nowhere making nothing happen. Nowhere making nothing happen. That's the problem that I see with it. I should not be able to go from one end of a state to another end of the state, and absolutely nothing is going on. Black folk are the majority, and nothing is happening. That's the problem that I have. I shouldn't be able to do that at a place like Philadelphia, where black people are the majority of the population after all those decades of complaining. And what have they done with their majority? That's the question. What have they done with that majority?
The last time I was there...
No different from anybody else, anywhere else. And that's the part that just simply frustrates you. Why in the world is it, how in the world is it that it can be 2014 and you and I can't name one significant place in the entire state of Pennsylvania where black folk are moving and shaping huge cities with huge black populations? So much for can we all get together in the same place? We got plenty of places where we're all together in the same place. What good is that doing us? Nothing. Nothing. Do you know why you don't have a store in Pittsburgh?
You know what? I don't know.
Because the Negroes who would build it are playing on the phone. That's why. Because the Negroes would build it, want to talk about females. That's why. That's why you don't have it. That's why.
It's very depressing. It is. You know, I've been to Philly. Last time I was out there was 2 years ago. I was depressed when I went there. I've been to Cleveland. I've been all pretty much up and down the East Coast, and it's depressing. And then last March, I went to Detroit. Wow. I've never seen a city like Detroit. That was Iraq, I guess. I don't know. I've just never seen a city with the black people in these cities look beat, soulless, and they're just existing.
Wow. That's amazing that you would say that. Brothers and sisters, he and I need to chop up game for a moment here. Brother, that's amazing that you would say that. Now, for those of you who have never been to Philadelphia, or Pennsylvania for that matter, but never been to Philadelphia, brother, that was something that I noticed driving around there.
Mm-hmm.
The closer downtown I got, more black people, but they all walked slow and with their heads down.
Yeah.
Like they had just been, like they had left a prize fight and they were on the wrong end of a punch everywhere. When I went up to Horsham, now I don't know if you know what Horsham is. But,
no, I don't.
Okay, it's a suburb, basically. Mm-hmm. On the suburbs, all the white folk are up there. Just like in a meeting. When I went up to Horsham, and meeting for that matter, I saw a few black folks, and most of them were walking around with their heads down. found that the craziest thing. And now there were a few black folk. I mean, actually, the receptionist, the desk clerk at the mayor I forget which kind of hotel it was. Man, I forget. Cost a fortune, though, as we know that. But I remember the receptionist, the desk clerk. Now, she had her head up. I remember her, and there was another black desk clerk. He had his head up. Everybody else, just people walking down the street, forget about it. Forget about it. Heads down. Like this is 1813. So and that's not the place you're going to find like that either. I've seen that dynamic phenomena in places, especially places that are old, run-down industrial towns. I've seen that, and that's just amazing that you know that, because I noticed that too. First time being there, and that was one of the first things that I noticed. And I was like, man, we got more than just economics here. This brother here needs some heart. I saw one black dude up in Horse walking down the street, holding his head straight down, like his dog just died and his pickup truck just blew through a rod. Head just down. I'm just looking at him like, man, are you serious? Everywhere like that.
You know what? This is a pandemic.
Yeah, it really is. Talk about Pan-Africanism. Yeah. Yeah, we got a pandemic.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I go to Detroit and see that, I live in Pittsburgh, I see it. I go to Philly and see it. I go to Cleveland and see it. I won't even discuss Youngstown. Anyway, Ohio, that is. It's the same thing. You know, like when I do walk around, I walk around with my head up. I do pay attention to where I'm at, but everybody just looks dead. Zombies. That's what they look like.
Now, crack is a hell of a drug, brother. I'll let you have the last word.
Oh, well, just thank you for letting me on. I appreciate your broadcast. It's not a show, people. It's a broadcast. And continue to do what you do. Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, people. You're absolutely correct. They acted, that's exactly the word, defeated. They act as if they are defeated. They walk around as if they are defeated. No wonder they can spend hours and hours and days trolling other people online. If you want to know where your trolls on Facebook and Twitter came from, that's them. Totally beaten, totally defeated, and somebody gave them internet service. With which to harass you now. Now, they're not winning. They're not winning anything. But boy, they sure do want to talk with you about it, don't they? Even though they're not actually winning anything. That's my point. Telephone line still open here. We're going to go ahead and see if we can take more calls. We've got a bunch of them. Caller from the 404, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 404 is working on listening. Caller from the 404-839, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 404-839-3728. They're rubbing up against their phone. I certainly don't want them to disturb them. But if everybody would like to talk to him later, I'm sure he'll be available to discuss with you about exactly what he was doing while he was on the phone. And that's what we have, Black society. Caller from 917, you're on live with the Black Channel. And then you all wonder why there are no grocery stores in Pittsburgh. Last time for call from 917-692. You're on live.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hi, Jason.
What's your name?
I'm James from New York.
Hello, James from New York.
Yes.
And what's on your mind?
A couple of things are on my mind. Uppermost is the state of our people, the way we think, the way we're looking at life. I've seen online where they say of you and Alyssa that you guys are agents and so forth. And here's my question to the black people that are listening. If these people were agents, wouldn't they be telling you to go about your lives the way you've been doing it? Wouldn't they be telling you to spend your money, waste your money, not build, to spend your time in clubs and at the beach and so forth and not build? I fail to see where the agent part comes in. When you correct our people, you have a problem. If you're talking about nonsense, no one says anything. They laugh and they dance and they have a good time. But you tell black people the right thing to do. Stop having babies. Go to school. Vote. Then you're an agent. Then you're a sellout. You speak proper English. You can be like the white man. This is where I'm at. And this is what disturbs me. Because I see it happen over and over and over again, and it's truly disappointing.
Let me ask you something here, because you have an accent. Where is that accent from?
What does it sound like?
I
say that because I get so many different answers.
To be totally honest with you, I don't want to guess at it, because there are two wild things, and I don't really want to guess at it. So that is just
I'm Jamaican.
Yeah, I was going to say from the West Indies, but I was like, man, I'm not sure, because he's talking like, I don't want to say, because it'll be insulting if I say insulting, but I mean, you'll be like, wow, how did you, the only other guess I would have had was Somalian. The ones from New York, man. I mean, sounds just like that. So I'm like, man, it sounds like West Indian. Sometimes it will throw you, because they get them up there in New York, man, and then it's over. You know, they start hearing them Italian stuff, and then they start sounding like some of everything. So, but
I sound like
where the agents are. I'll tell you all where the agents are. The agents are posting up videos talking about hoes. The agents are out there talking to strippers. The agents are putting up memes on Facebook talking about, look at that ass. The agents are in relationship talk talking about, you black women need to get it together before we eat the white girls, this, that, and the other. The agents don't want to talk about building. The agents don't want to talk about money. The agents get a broadcast and talk about their people. The agents want to sit up here and talk about agents. They don't want to talk about a solution to agents. When's the last time? Have you all ever heard a white person say that guy over there is an agent? You've never heard them say it in their lives. And the reason why is because they focus on power. And when you have enough power, it doesn't matter who's an agent and who isn't. You are strong enough that they can't do anything except hate on you. The agents are the ones who have built us a grocery store in Pittsburgh or Detroit. Those are agents. The agents are the ones who laugh and giggle while strippers and hookers and sluts are on your phone. Those are the agents. Agents are the ones who got bored at the beginning of this broadcast and were bored yesterday when I was talking to Jennifer Miranda. She was talking about health and fitness. And do you know that I had 75% of my usual audience? I lost a quarter of the audience talking about being healthy directly from somebody. I couldn't even reframe the discussion to keep their attention. Couldn't even reframe it. Those are your agents.
And you
the
wonder
people
why
we're at where we're at. Intelligence.
You know, I'm in Brooklyn, okay? And right now you see half of Brooklyn moving out of Brooklyn. You have people coming from all over the country moving here to Brooklyn because Brooklyn is turning into another Manhattan. Black people have owned most of Brooklyn for the past 30 and 40 years and have done nothing with it. Absolutely nothing with it. And now you see a surge of people coming from Nebraska, from the Midwest, from the South, white people mostly, moving into our neighborhoods. And then you hear the black people say, oh, they're stealing our neighborhoods. No one is stealing anything. They're giving it away. Like Jacob and Esau. You're giving it away. You're giving away your birthright. This is what disturbs me about our people. When you see the truth in front of your face, you piss it away. You throw it away. You say, it's garbage. People say, you go to school. It's garbage. Look to your neighborhoods. It's garbage. Look to your family. Your families. It's garbage. But when someone says to you, let's go to the club and go play, and smoke this food, let's go smoke this hydro, let's go do other nonsense, then, oh, yeah, let's go do that. But we need to start to talk about building a society. And that's why, this is the reason why I can't, at this point, put my race above myself. Because my race, by and large, are wasting their gifts. If my race were doing something, we're building something, we're being something, I could see it. But at this point, my race, we're squandering our gifts.
Those of us who do get that, you know, it can bog them down really quickly. So I'm going to try to give an opportunity here to see if that helps out. See if we can try another call here. I'm pretty sure I had that. Okay, we'll try one more here. Caller from the 412. You're alive.
Hello. This is Percy Wems from Vicksburg.
The speakers. It'll look a lot better for you.
I'm sorry.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Percy Wems from Pittsburgh.
What's on your mind, black man?
I'm just calling tonight, just talking to hearing the show. I've been hearing it for the last past week. And I'm telling you, it's like people, I'm the one that wrote that, it's the people's been defeated lately. We were talking to Larry about a few callers back, and it's been complete hell. It's like everybody wants to focus on things that has nothing to do with getting us back to where we need to be. It's like today everybody is so defeated they don't want to do anything. And TBA, I feel your pain because I'm sick of it too. I'm not asleep, Daniel. I've just been sitting up here doing work and trying to get things done.
Not asleep. Not sleep. You're tired. Is what
you're saying. No, no.
You're not asleep. You're tired.
And yes, sir.
I'm right there with you. Think about it for a moment. You'll catch it in a moment. But you're not sleep tired.
Right.
I'm paying for this. I'm paying to hear this stuff, you know, front and center, front line. A bunch of people who would rather talk about nonsense and detritus. If you tried to hold a conversation with them about rebuilding our bombed out, broken down neighborhoods, everybody else in America, the Mexican, the Asian, the Arab, the Indian, the Caucasian, everybody else be on board. Except
right.
Black folks. You couldn't keep black people interested in that long enough to actually build something. They would much rather turn the conversation back to, well, who's that? And what female they're sleeping with.
And right now I'm in no position to be asking for a female. I'm trying to get myself together, and that's what we need to be worrying about and what we need to be doing, getting ourselves together. Ourselves together, hey, the females will follow suit.
Let me tell you something, okay? I spent all of last year talking to some of the richest and most eminent black men in America. And let me tell you, the only thing that never came up from any of them was women. They brought
right.
up children. They brought up sports. They brought up going to the moon. They brought up everything, basically under the sun, except women. They didn't bring
everything
up
that's going to be productive. Things of production, not things that's going to set us back, but things that were moving us ahead, moving forward. That's what they were talking about.
But we can't be bothered to concentrate on that.
Exactly. And when I was growing up, that's...
And we're supposed to be building, and we got a bunch of males out here who not being able to build does not bother them at all.
And that's the problem. It begins at home. Their minds have to be right at home, and if you don't got a stable home, parents who give a damn about their kids, and 9 times out of 10, the kids are going to model what the parents do. And if their kids are seeing nothing but garbage, that's what they're going to model after. I'm 34. I have no kids. I'm not married. I'm going to school. I'm doing what I need to do. And I'm the only one out of 5 children that don't have kids. And I see my brothers and sisters' pain because they didn't get married. They all had their kids because they wanted to have fun. Reckless fun, and it's tearing them apart. And
let me tell you something. I don't make any money at this. Here's the thing. I could never make money at this.
Right.
Never. Because I would never be able to get a large enough audience to make a profit.
Right.
I could never do it. Now, if all I did was talk about our messed up relationships, if all I did was talk about dating issues, if that was all I did, and pretty much that's all everybody else does, okay? If I wanted a real big audience, I would just have people like Melissa on and let y'all argue with them all day.
And that's
now,
what
isn't,
it's
that,
about.
Isn't that amazing? Now, that would catch their attention and keep it. I would have a bunch of people on and just let y'all call up and argue with her about her views on this, that, and the other.
And that's all that they wanted to do because you did that Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday, and I remember Monday and Tuesday. You went Monday night specifically. You went off, and I listened to that broadcast, and I said I don't blame him one bit. And Deshaun's right. It's like fluff equals dollars. That's all they want to hear, but they don't want to hear nothing that's going to help them. You said just earlier when you stay up, when you are at the bottom, and they are not doing nothing to want to get ahead, that's what they're going to keep thinking like. They're going to keep thinking like they're defeated, like there's no way of getting up. And my pastor said it this morning. It says, like, we have lost pride in ourselves as being black. And we blame everyone else but ourselves. We don't want to do nothing. And it's like, like I said in the chat room, it's like we're being defeated. And I'm like, I refuse to be defeated. I live in the Hill District, and I knew exactly what Larry was talking about. And I'm like, I refuse to be defeated.
Well, let me tell you something. I heard about the Hill when I was out there.
Oh, yeah.
Never go down there, by the way. But, I mean, for a guy who was only there for a few weeks, and yet I heard about it, that was the other thing that I told him. I said, when I originally went there, I'm giving away some details. When I originally went there, I had originally gone up to I stayed in Plymouth Meeting, okay? Because I'm just the kind of guy that's just a specific type of hotel I'm going to stay at when I go to a place. I'm just not saying it's a flea bag in. I'm just not doing it.
Right.
I don't care how many stars it's got. Now, unfortunately, I wound up actually staying at the bag inn through no fault of my own. People in Pennsylvania got to, I mean, the closer to downtown you got, the worse they're. That's another thing I didn't know. You know, the closer to downtown that you got, I realized that the hotels that were getting 3 and 4 stars, like on Priceline and Hotwire and all that, I noticed that in the black areas of town, hotels that wouldn't have gotten 2 stars here in Shreveport were getting 4 stars there.
Right.
That I just want to throw that in there. Hotels that would not have gotten, you know, 2 stars here.
Right.
We're doing well out there. And I'm like, this is what all estimations are. This is what your estimation, they've been beaten down so much that a flea bag hotel you give them 4 stars to. But that tells you, well, they've been a lot worse. So while I was there, you know, I was noticing that when you, if these people don't have a frame of reference, and clearly they don't, if you don't have any standards, and clearly you don't, then you end up in a situation like I had at that hotel, where I'm sitting there and there's nothing but white folk and nothing but German cars, brand new German cars, Beamer, Volvo, Volkswagen, I was driving one, but brand new German cars all over the place, BMW 3, 5, 6, and 7 Series, everywhere out. Guess what I didn't see up in Plymouth Meeting? Black. Now, why do I include that? Didn't see black folk anywhere except the girl at the desk clerk. Turned on the TV. It was around 5 evening. Turned on the TV to watch the news.
Yep.
Guess what I saw on the news? Well, there are your black folk right there. I forget what area of town in Philadelphia was. It was someplace Hill something. I think it was like Cedar Hill or something like that. I forget what the exact name was now. It's been months and months. Story, the first top 3 stories were 3 shootings and 1, I guess, mini riot, teenagers. And guess who they all were?
Black.
Didn't see any white folk other than the paramedics. Didn't see any white folk in any of those stories until they got to one of the fires somewhere. Then the black folk, the white folk showed up. But when I turned on the news, and I was like, and do you see why we are where we are?
Exactly. And this is the one time that the white man said, this is not me. It's all you. It's all on you. My pastor said it this morning. This is the new KKK. We are the new KKK, and the white man can't say nothing. He can say one thing. It's not me. You're doing it to yourself.
Because we have an appetite for bull crap.
Yep.
We have an appetite for gossip. We have an appetite for myth. We have an appetite for arguing. We have an appetite for conflict. We don't have an appetite for building. We don't have an appetite for having, we don't have an appetite for prosperity. And prosperity is not tricking off your damn money at Dillard's.
Exactly.
Prosperity is having enough money to trick off at Dillard's, but the wisdom to not do it. That's prosperity.
Exactly.
We don't have.
Jason, I'm your friend on Facebook. I'm also a member, and you know what group I'm talking about. It get enough shine as it is, RT 2.0. And
yeah.
And you know me, I don't post on there like crazy. I say what I need to say, and I keep it moving. And it's like, I see enough as it is, but my mind is so busy. And all I'm going to say is that, and I'm going to leave it at this. I knew somewhere down the line I was going to talk to you, but I figured, hey, tonight is a better time than never, because like I told Ashley Rose after she spoke with you, that I believe it's that Saturday or that Sunday, one of the two, we're in the fourth quarter. We either going to get it together or we're going to get left behind. Black first, and thank you for having me tonight.
Black first, brother, thank you very much for joining us, and you are just dead on like a laser beam. I can't even improve on what he said. He's just dead on. We've got two black folk here who are desirous of nonsense. They've got an appetite, and a deep, insatiable appetite for idiocy. And that's why they keep doing it. We have a bunch of black folk who, even though they are adults, or they're old enough to be adults, and they're just not interested. That's the problem. Going to try one more here. I think I've seen this number before, but I think I know who this is. Caller from the 702, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, hi, this is Lotus from Las Vegas.
Hello, Lotus. You're about to be out there in a major way.
I know. I didn't have much to say. I just wanted to say thanks for all the inspiration, like with the weight loss motivation and everything like that. And for everything you're doing, and I'm looking forward to the documentary. And that was basically it.
Did you hear last night's broadcast?
Yes, I did.
Hope you got something.
Yes,
useful.
I did.
I hope you got something. Sorry, you can use. I hope you got something you can use out of it.
Yes, definitely. I definitely did, and it was very inspirational. And I actually found out today that she has children, Jennifer Miranda as well. So it actually inspired me even more. You know, like if she can do it, I can too.
Yeah, I mean, she mentioned that last night on the broadcast also. And like I say, it's one of those things where I think it's awesome. I think she's wonderful. And I certainly hope you take that as inspiration of what's possible, even if you don't go as far as she has. It's good for you to know what's possible. You know, it's good for you to at least know what's out there. And these are people that we can build with. And I want you to be one of those people. So thank you very much here for checking in with us. And please do call us again, and definitely stick with us here, especially if you're trying to get something done, because as you can tell by tonight, it's not a lot of serious, dedicated, driven black people in America. There aren't a lot of us. So those few of us that there are, we got to stick together. Got to. I'll let you have the last word, sister.
Definitely. I definitely agree, and I just wanted to say keep doing what you're doing, and thanks, and I'll definitely be tuning in.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight, too. We appreciate that. This is the home of Intelligent Black Thought. This is the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, Black Authority, the only serious voice that is available to the people. If you want to call and gossip and bull jive, plenty of people out there doing that. This is a place for builders. This is a place for people who want to build and want to be about building. Not a lot of black folk out there who understand that. We're one of the few places that do discuss that on a regular basis. Okay, that's a little weird there, but
I'm muted.
Caller from the 480, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how's it going, Jason? This is Chris in Phoenix from Detroit. I've called in before. I missed last night's broadcast live because I was working, but I wanted to, you know, applaud you for that. Even though, you know, her being a woman, listening to the broadcast on the, you know, through YouTube, I learned a lot. And, you know, I really appreciate that. Tonight, I've been listening off and on. because I've been, you know, Sunday, been doing two things at once. But I'm really surprised that people who disagree with you or disagree with, I would say, this building black thought community, it's petty. You know what I mean? Like, their grievances aren't even valid. The only thing I can give them is that at least they called in to face their execution. But, you know, does this dishearten, you know, does this bother you at all, or do you kind of lose a little bit of steam when you realize that the ignorant blacks, their number is legion?
Do I lose steam? I suppose if I had to live with these people, I'd be suicidal. I suppose if I did. Fortunately, I don't have to actually live with any of these people. And that makes my life a little bit better. But as it stands, I try to associate with as many people like yourself as possible. Because association brings about assimilation. And if the only people that you associate with are the dregs, and they outnumber us, then that's it. But, you know, the other thing is, I know that what I'm fighting for is worth it. So I concentrate on goals. And I put up a study yesterday that showed that research is proven by researchers that once something is accepted, once 10% of the population has an unshakable belief, it's inevitable that the other 90% will also attach to that belief as well. And I'm trying to get our numbers up to 10%. When we become that 10%, everything changes from there. Right now, we're probably at 5%. But you know what? This is worth it. It's worth it. So my answer to you is that I just associate with as many sensible people as I can because, you know, you need a break from that nonsense. You really, really do. And that's what I do, man. I set this all up for the purpose of attracting people like you, for the purpose of attracting people like Lotus, people like Big Zoe, you know, people like Rick. I did that for those purposes. And I don't want the majority, to be totally honest with you. I don't. A lot of people worry about getting a big audience and a big majority. I don't want the majority. Please. Who would you rather have? Would you rather have 2 million people working at their jobs? Or would you rather have Rupert Murdoch, Mark Zuckerberg, and Steven Spielberg? If you had
that's rhetorical, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm asking you honestly. You might be different. I mean, you might want the people. I don't know.
But yeah, no.
If you had to have a team, would you rather have numbers or would you rather have power is the real question. So that's why I don't worry about convincing masses. We get our power up, and from there you get to dictate what happens. So that, my eye, is on all of. As long as that's available, that's what I've got my eye on. And I just try to keep it there, man. I just try to keep focused like a laser beam on it. That's what I try to do.
Well, one last question, Jason. I've been looking. Have you decided when you, or maybe I missed it, as far as being able to actively participate in the funding of the documentary? Has any of that information been released, or do you have a set date, or maybe I missed it?
Yes, you'll probably be hearing about that here shortly. I'm just going to say the word shortly. What I have to do is I'm going to make a special cut promo for the documentary first, okay? And if people wonder, what's taking so long? It's because when I just do a YouTube video, I can just rip some video from a website, you know, rip some pictures from a website and add my audio and that's it. It takes a little while, but I can do that. But this footage, I have to take in, I have to trim it, I have to process it, you know, so it's going to be a much better product, but along with that better product means more time. And here's the thing, brother, I have to think about this because I'm only going to get one shot at this. I'm not going to get 20 times to make a first impression. I'm only going to get one. and I'm trying to make it count. I'm trying to make it count. Yeah, I did open up the website last night, though, 7ammovie.com. All you can go to 7ammovie.com. You can go take a look at it. It's got everybody who's going to contribute to it. Well, almost everybody who's going to contribute to it is listed on the website now for you to be able to see them. You can see those are all original pictures. You can't find those anywhere else, anywhere. And you can't find them anywhere else, anywhere, because I'm the only person who has it. 15 hours of footage from our interview subjects, and so definitely worth seeing.
Now, let me ask you this, Jason. When you met with these titans of black business and thought, how was their reception of you? Like, was it hard to, did you have to jump through a lot of hoops to get to them, or, you know, how was that? Were they very brotherly? You know, how was it? What was that experience like sitting with these giants?
I can truthfully say Umar Johnson is one of the most congenial people you'll ever meet in your life. He really, really is. If he comes off as standoffish, but now I got to tell you, he is one of the most down-to-earth, friendly people that you will ever meet in your life. You know he's from Philadelphia. He is one of the most outrageously friendly people you will ever encounter. Let me just put that out there first. Now that I got that out the way, were they difficult to see? Brother, were they? Is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to give out any specific name, but you know who you are. It took weeks to set those things up. There was one person in particular that they approved me coming to see them while I was doing an interview with someone else, like a month later, and they made me jump through a bunch of hoops. I mean, it was like, it was a good 10-12 phone calls. 10-12 phone calls.
Were they vetting?
Yes.
Were they vetting you to make sure that you weren't some space cadet?
Yes. You don't get to just call up dumb peoples and say, can I have 3 hours of your time? It doesn't work that way. Because he just dropped $160 million on the original New York Life building. How much is that man's 3 hours of that man's time worth? Well, he can drop that kind of change. How much is his time worth? And you want to deprive him of 3 hours that he could be making money on? Brother, I will never be able to give him enough money to compensate him for those 3 hours that he took out of his life. His time is worth just so much more than mine.
Yeah. Now, are you self-taught or educated specifically on, you know, filmmaking, broadcasting, you know, or is this something that you actually studied?
Self-taught. I just did a ton of research. I did a ton of research online. Every once in a while, for some things that I couldn't get that specific information on, I would pay somebody to help set it up for me, you know, for the mix board, but not in my early years, no. I mean, I paid the guy $150. To help me to set it up. And, you know, it's not rocket science, but if you want him to take time out of his day to show you how to do it, it's $150 for essentially 2 minutes of work, if you want to call it work. For essentially 2 minutes of work, it's $150. So I paid it and gave myself a lot of aggravation. When doing my documentary, I did a ton of looking into it myself. But for the final stuff that really needed to be fine-tuned, I got somebody who knew exactly what they were doing, Quentin Adams of Sharpest Memory. So, like I say, it's a mixture of the two, mostly self-research. But for the few things that were crucial that I didn't know, I did what most Negroes don't do, and I paid somebody and said, show me how this works. And they came and showed me, and I never had to pay anybody since then. Now, there's a wonderful feeling. I've never had to pay anybody for that knowledge ever since then. One of the years, I might put up a video on it if I got time. One of the years, I might do it just if I have the time. Because mine's valuable, too. So it's not like the early days when I just had a couple of days a week I could do it on my own stuff. So if I have the ability, I'll set it up and show people. But you learn by doing, man. You learn by doing. Don't worry about what the camera does. Go buy the damn thing. It's just like I tell people, it's just like having your job. You not learn how to do your job in training. I don't care how long the training was. That didn't. I don't care what your job was. You didn't learn how to do your job from training. You learned how to do your job half from doing it. When they put you out there on the floor and told you, now go do it, that was where you learned your job. And this is the same thing. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
I want to appreciate you for making the broadcast more plentiful, you know, because I've actually led more people to you, you know, because I've always had these similar philosophies. I feel as though you fine-tuned the black conscious community as far as, when I say conscious, as far as awake and aware about where we need to go, but where we are currently is probably, you know, what you'll be praised for mostly, you know, because to diagnose the disease is the first step, you know, so I appreciate all that you're doing, man. I hope it stays consistent with the broadcast because it gets me through my day, you know, my work day, evening because I work nights. And, again, man, black first, and I humbly, you know, appreciate all that you've done, man. You take care of yourself, Jason.
Well, thank you very much for the support, brother. We appreciate that. Consistency has been one of my problems, and I'll be one of the people to tell you all. I'm consistent as hell. I really am. I have a real problem staying consistent as far as broadcasting. You know why? Because when I had a chance to go see Dr. Claude Anderson, I stopped broadcasting. Because I had something that was more valuable. And I make value judgments. I have an opportunity to go see Don Peebles. Yeah, I'm not going to broadcast. I can broadcast and talk to idiots about Melissa over C1, Rich Man on Earth. That doesn't even require, brain power to make that decision. Well, for some of you it would, but that doesn't even require brain power to make that decision. It's a no-brainer. You should need help. Hell, you shouldn't need, a lot of you don't need help, you just need guts. Try to take another call here. Caller from the 585. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 585 looking for their phone. Last five, caller from 585-713. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 585-713-2203 is apparently fighting off kidnappers to prevent themselves from being abducted. So if anybody else is listening later, you have the opportunity to check with next of kin. Let them know, hey, I was just going over to check and see, has anybody seen him in a few days? He's calling broadcast and not. If any of you can find 585-713-2203, let me know. All right, let's see if we can check on some more calls here. Yes, I've got plenty of calls. I don't know if I have enough motivation to get to all of them, but I've got plenty of calls here. Just to dovetail on what the previous caller there said, if you're actually building, you don't have time to worry about trivial things. I don't get beaten down and discouraged by the ignorant. I get beaten down and discouraged by the intelligent who follow the idiocy of the ignorant. And unfortunately, tonight has been a textbook study of what you don't do. You don't do that. Look how animated these black females are when you don't pay them as much attention as they want. Look how animated these black males get when you talk to them about their white woman. Look how upset and animated they become. Because that's what their priorities are. priorities are not about building. Their priorities are so basic, so gutter. And then you wonder why we're stuck where we are. It's a wonder. Listen to this broadcast tonight. Just listen to it. They'll tell you. Well, they'll tell you if they were actually there. Only got a... I don't know. I'm probably going to wrap this up very soon. Feel like getting some more calls, though. Believe it or not, I do. Let's check and see what we have here. Let me grab somebody who's been waiting for a while. Caller from the, this better not be a repeat, 702, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Good evening, Jason Black. I'd like to thank you for taking my call tonight. It's a pleasure and honor to be on the line with you. Hi, my name is Craig.
Hello, Craig, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Las Vegas. It's a pleasure to talk to you, man.
Black first, brother. I get a lot of calls from Vegas lately. I'm big on the strip.
Man, you're spitting that knowledge. A lot of people right here are really excited to hear it, you know?
Wish everybody was excited to hear it as you are, but please, go ahead.
But you know what, man? I'm going to say that you really have energized my soul with your message. I would say that before I started listening to you back in January, I was one of those lazy brothers that wasn't doing enough with my life to advance myself as far as building. Now, I'm very well educated. I'm a school teacher, whatnot. But I wasn't building anything. But I've always had in my heart, Jason, to write books, to reach out to kids who have lived a life of poverty and to try to free them out of the situation that they were in. And so when I started listening to your messages about, you know, the things that we would do to ourselves to self-assassinate us, in our pathway, it's like, you know what? You know, it's time for me to start taking the scales out of my eyes and submit to the truth about myself as a man and what I need to do as far as advancing myself and pursuing my dreams. And I've just been learning a lot. I've been gravitating to the correction. I feel like I've been getting corrected every time I listen to you about some things that I do, the communication I engage in, what I expect out of women, whatnot, because this really is not about getting women or men or getting material things. This is just about self-advancement and enlightenment. This whole process in which we're in right now, I believe you have a heart for people and you want us to do better. And I feel it and I gravitate it every time I listen to you. It is just heartbreaking that some people can't receive correction. And I think right now this is the method in which we have to go about is being bold and expose the dirt and expose everything that is destroying us as a human being. And I believe a lot of people have an issue with the method in which you're using, but it's necessary. It's necessary because all other ways have worked. Social programs have worked, social programs have been tried, and they failed. Trying to be nice and talk to people the nice way, it ain't working. It's just creating more bastard babies, you know. And so as an educator, I see the effect of bastard baby making of the 90s and in the early part of the millennium because I teach those kids. And a lot of their parents cannot accept correction when I tell them your kid is going in the wrong direction. Try this method. Get very haughty, you know. So I just want to call in and just give you dabs, and I just want to say to you, Jason, thank you for the method which you're doing. It is making an impact in my life, and I believe in others.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I've had educated call from out there before, as a matter of fact. So, but I wish more people, you know, of course, I wish more people were on board with this. But we'd rather be entertained and understand something. We are entering the most dangerous time in history for Africans ever.
Yes.
We'll deal with this in my documentary. But this gentrification, we use the term gentrification, but the term is genocide.
Oh, yeah.
They are denying you places to live.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gentrification is. Gentrification is when you take a group of people and you deny them the ability to live in this area. And that area that they're denying is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. And in places like Detroit, where I'm originally from, it is happening. It's clear as day. In D.C., I live in D.C. It is really happening there. And it started with the teachers. They tried another method of getting rid of all of the black teachers they've worked there career-wise by using a new method called the impact teacher observation. And most of the teachers that pretty much got bad recommendations from their principals were black. And guess what? Who replaced those teachers? White teachers. So they're trying different methods, Jason, and getting rid of us in our certain places so where they can be, we can be replaced. So you're right. It's already manifesting. It's been manifesting for years, but it's really getting harder now. And they're going about it as far as even in our workplace to isolate us. That's how deep this is.
Now, impact was used like a hammer by Michelle Reed when she was in D.C. Now, we all, for those educators who remember, and she's gone, but that's still there being swung like a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Add to that the emergency finance manager law in Detroit. Add to that in its domain rolling like a freight train in Brooklyn and Harlem. Add to that Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Add to that, well, you get the point now, huh? You get the point.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one thing anymore. We're just now waking up and realizing they got us cornered on every side. And these people want to spend my broadcast. They would prefer that rather than talk about how we deal with that, they would prefer to talk about a female they don't even know. That,
yes.
That keeps their attention. They would prefer that we talk about that.
Exactly.
And I address the stupid questions, but the fact that they're even asking that, what the hell does that show you? I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much. We do appreciate it. See if I can try squeezing in one more phone call here before we head out. I can keep people up all night, but I'm going to prefer not to do that. Let's see. Take another call here. Caller from the 480. You're on live with Black Live. Okay. Caller from 480-395-6679. Got stage fright. Don't know why. I don't bite. Not through the phone. Okay. If anybody finds him, locates him, or whatever, let him know he's going to be in my next video. Please keep an eye on that name. Caller from 562, you're on live with the Black Channel. Don't be NeNe. Caller from 562-794, you're on live.
Hey, TBA, I'm just listening.
Okay. If you're just listening, you just need to press 1 on your phone again, and that'll take you out of the call queue and put you back in the listener queue. Caller from the 917, you're live with the Black Channel.
Hey, Jason, this is James.
James. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my phone was went haywire for a minute there.
Okay. Did I speak to you already, or your phone just started messing up on you?
Yeah, you spoke to me earlier about my phone messed up. It went haywire.
Yeah, it was clipping up on you. Okay. Go ahead and finish the thought.
No, well, the thing is, I was just saying that I find it disturbing that you have most of Brooklyn moving out to Pennsylvania, and you have everyone else moving in here, and no one seems to question this. You know, black people have basically owned and ran Brooklyn for the past 30 and 40 years. And now you have nowhere to live. The rents in Brooklyn are climbing by the day.
Wait a minute now. Now you said something, okay? You said black people have worked and ran Brooklyn for over 30 years.
70s, 80s.
Let me ask you, is that a factually accurate statement?
For the most part, yes.
Think about the words that you said now that worked in and ran Brooklyn for the last 30 years. Think
what I say, Ron, I'm not talking about as in politically speaking.
I mean, when you say that we run something, what that means is that we have the ability to deny other people something.
Well, the thing is,
what is it that black people in Brooklyn have the ability or been able to deny anybody who comes to Brooklyn?
Oh, here's the thing. We've been here in such numbers that we could. That's the thing. We've been in Brooklyn in such vast numbers that we could deny anyone anything if we voted as one or forget vote as one, but if we put forth the effort. Because there's almost
no... But my point is, they haven't run it. I mean, that's the same as a lesbian saying, you know, if I had a penis, I would have intercourse with my girlfriend.
No, you don't have.
You got everything else, but you actually don't have the ability to do that. Well, we got the numbers, but if we had only used...
There's a question. Why? It's not as if we don't have the numbers to enforce a vote for mayor, for whatever else. We have. We don't sit on our community boards. We don't sit on any of these local boards that determine our neighborhoods. And then when it slips through our fingers, we complain. Please, tell me
how many of the... Your control of a neighborhood starts with your economics. It doesn't start with how many black residents you have. It starts with who controls the economy of that area, who controls the money. Do black people, have black people ever controlled the businesses and the economy of Brooklyn?
Not the way we should.
Just go on, say no. Come on, man.
The thing is, here's the thing. I've been to these community boards, some of these community boards, and we don't show up. We as people, we do not show up. So it's not even just a matter of owning business and so forth. That plays a part. But the thing is, we don't show up. We don't represent. So at the end of the day, if you don't show up, you don't represent, you have no voice. You have no say. So it's not just a matter of owning businesses and so forth. It's a matter of showing up. There's enough of us here in Brooklyn that if we show up, we make a difference. But we don't show up. As soon as we get home, we want to watch Wheel of Fortune or whatever it is. We don't take ourselves and go down to these community boards to determine how buses run. How late our post office is opening, or whatever it is. We don't understand how buildings are being built in our neighborhoods so that we have somewhere to live. None of these things that we embrace. Right now, more than half of Brooklyn is starting to look like Manhattan, and it's not because we organized it. It happened in spite of us, and so that now most of us are having to move down south, or to Pennsylvania, the Poconos, and so forth. Why? Because we don't show up.
Well, here's the problem, though. Question. What percentage of the black population of Brooklyn actually owns the house they live in?
Not that many.
Because if all you are is a renter, that means you are a guest in someone else's home.
Very true.
Which means you can be removed at any time. The question is, what do you own? What do you control? And what can you pass down? Now, if you get all those things, you're doing stuff. Black folk have never had that in Brooklyn, though. We've been a lot of residents. All that means is that we were designated squatters for Brooklyn and the Bronx and Manhattan and Staten Island. You get the idea.
Yes and no. I'll say yes and no.
Designated squatters.
I'll say that, yes and no. a lot of young black people, people in the 40s and down, that a lot of their parents owned, okay? A lot of the parents from yesteryear who came up in the 60s and 70s and so forth, they bought houses in Brooklyn. They then bequeathed them to their children, and their children sell their houses for a song, literally for little and nothing.
Let's talk about that. Now, under what conditions did all these black people buy those homes?
Insofar as?
Malcolm X talked about it while he was alive. White flight. They were able to buy all those brown homes and whatnot because the white folk were moving out. As soon as too many Negroes came in, all the houses went for sale, and the price of the houses did what? Plummeted. Now that the white folk, i.e. the people with the money, want to come back, the price of the housing is doing what now? Skyrocketing.
Or skyrocketing. As a matter of fact.
So you had black folk back then, but the problem is, well, they were buying those things, but can you really be called an owner if you're spending your last dime to buy it and there is no plan in place to make sure that it stays your family?
It's not even just that. In Brooklyn, we bought enough numbers that we had something. But it's more than that. We also had riots in Brooklyn in the 70s and the 80s. And a lot of these neighborhoods that were something turned to garbage. In the 1990s, the city government, and this is what I mean by community boards, they decided that we are going to change these neighborhoods. And so they sold a lot of these properties where the owners just walked away from to people on Wall Street for a dollar, literally a dollar. Okay, all they had to do was pay the taxes. And a lot of these people in the early 90s, they sat on these houses for 5, 6, 7 years. Places like Bedford-Stuyvesant, okay, places that I wouldn't walk through, much more run through back in the day. Now, I couldn't afford to live there because you have a lot of these young, former yuppies who worked in Wall Street or wherever else, or who knew where things were going, they bought a lot of these brownstones. And now this is where they live. Most black people can't afford to live. As a matter of fact, they don't even rent to people in those neighborhoods anymore, for the most part, in those new places. So the thing is, when I say that we don't show up, this is what I mean by we don't show up. Because if you don't show up in the early days, you're not going to have anything when it blossoms into something good. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't be something. We can. But it's just that a matter of showing up.
Well, here's the problem, though. The problem is when you have a huge influx of money like that, brother, they got the ability now to just simply gentrify you on the spot. They don't even have to discuss anymore. They have the ability, like what happened to Leo Grand, the Android app homeless guy. I mean, they don't even have to buy your brownstone anymore. All they have to do is start building new condos on the next block over. And that will balloon the price for all of you within a 5 or 6 block. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like setting up a bomb. It really is. Because a bomb goes off and knocks down everything for 3 or 4 blocks. And every time they build one of those condos, that's exactly what it does. It's like setting off a roach bomb. I bet you that's what they call it. I bet you that's what those developers call it, is roach bomb.
Right around from where I live, they're starting to build a new condo set to be done next year. I also saw city plans for Brooklyn, and the taxes for Brooklyn are supposed to skyrocket in the next 10 years, which will make it almost impossible for most black people to own anything here. So when you're looking at a $20,000 tax bill per year, who can afford that?
The white folk moving in.
Exactly.
Asians, Arabs, they can afford it just fine. Because here's the problem, brother. The problem is I can give every single black person in Brooklyn a brownstone tomorrow. I can give them to them. But if y'all don't have jobs and you don't have a progressive economy that keeps up the rate of inflation, guess what's going to happen to you?
You're done. You can't hold your house.
Having, all you do is have a roof over your head. You will not, there is no plan and no procedure in place with which to keep it.
You can't hold your house. That's what's going to happen. You can't hold your house. And so right now, when I heard you talking to the other gentleman about how you have, you're looking at Detroit and whole parts of Pennsylvania, yeah, a lot of the people from Pennsylvania have migrated from New York because what you pay for rent here, you pay for mortgage out in Pennsylvania. And they're moving out in the droves, by the droves. I happened to be at a school a couple of years ago, and I noticed that 99.9% of the population of the students were African-American or Latino, mostly African-American, and almost all of the teachers were young white people, almost all. And I'm saying that there's something wrong with this picture.
Now, do you live in Brooklyn? You're in Brooklyn, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, as you know, I conducted interviews in Manhattan. As you know, heart of Manhattan. We were right around the corner from the Waldorf Astoria and 30 Rock and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth Avenue and all that good stuff. So you know exactly where I'm talking about. 55th Street. Never thought you could have a detour in that area, but you did. Now, you know what I'm talking about down there, and that, I'm going through that because I want to make sure you and I have the same frame of reference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, and for the people who don't, that is the most expensive real estate in the world.
Very
There's
expensive.
Not, there isn't one building down that's worth less than $2 billion. Not one. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because where are the poor people in that part of the town?
All right.
That's my question. Tell me where the poor people of any race, where are the poor people down there near 30 Rock and Addison Avenue and Park? Where are they?
All right. So I'm going to tell you a quick story then. I was taking a class along government a couple of years ago, and our teacher came in one day, and then she said, "What is gentrification?" No one had ever heard of that. And so she told us a story. She said, "We just came. Seen it herself and some of her friends. We just came from a community board meeting, and this is what they're planning to do for New York. They're planning that all the poor people who live here will have to move out, and the people who live outside will come in." She said an executive order went out that no project is to be rehabilitated, to be renovated, anything. They fall where they stand. She said, "New York is one of the only places in the world where you have prime real estate, and on this prime real estate, you have low-income housing." So from the 90s, they had decided to do this. This didn't start yesterday. From the 90s. So what are they doing? They're moving the poor people out so that only the wealthy can live here. Because now, if you go down to Tillery Street and Flatbush Avenue in downtown Brooklyn, okay, where there once was a huge sort of projects, it's gone, hollowed out. The school that facilitated said projects, gone, hollowed out. So not only is the building hollowed out, but another building is down to the subfloor basement, going down maybe two or three or four floors, because now they're building condos. So they're building condos all up down there, okay? And you have huge mega builders like Ratner and Four Equities and so forth coming to buy buildings so that they can make down there look like Lower Manhattan. Now, all of the surrounding neighborhoods, okay, have been affected. Everything within one square mile in terms of Brooklyn, in terms of Queens, and so forth, have been affected because now you have all these young, wealthy people moving in, and all the people who could have lived there, who could have afforded it, are now moving out. But now they don't have the money. So more than anything else, More now, than anything else.
My point in saying that, now you confirmed it, there are no poor people in downtown Manhattan.
No.
And there are no poor people of any kind in downtown. That is strictly for rich now. And very soon there will be no poor black people in the surrounding area, i.e. Harlem. But now the plan is in place to get rid of all poor black folk. And from there, I guess the rich will eventually remove all the poor people altogether. But first, we start with the Negroes. The whites will be able to hang on just a little bit longer than the Negroes will. But they'll be the next to fall. But they've all, what I'm saying is, I told everybody I came back last year, I said, y'all, they've already successfully gentrified Manhattan. I've gone and I've seen it. I've gone and I've seen it. If you ain't got money, every law you can imagine is against you if you're poor. Right down to signs that say a business parking only, commercial parking only. Couldn't find a place to park at 2 in the morning in downtown Manhattan. Couldn't find a place to park. You're giving because you're like, yeah, what did he think? He must be new here. Yeah, I just assumed it was like every other place in America. But it ain't. There was nowhere to park. The red signs that you all got, the red parking signs, yeah, I was there. The red parking signs say commercial parking only. And that was like a 30-minute or 2-hour permit. I think it was like 30 minutes or an hour. And you cannot park in downtown Manhattan. Not at 2 in the afternoon, not at 2 in the morning. You can't. Now, I could park over Harlem. I just pulled up on the street in Harlem. And by the way, police passed me for like 3 hours. Never messed with me.
It's some of the most expensive real estate in America. Where you're talking about around the 50s on the east or west side are some of the most expensive real estate. Zip code 10021, which is from 60th Street to 80th Street, is the most expensive zip code in all of New York. So it is very difficult to find any parking anywhere around there. And for the most part, you're not going to find black people there, for the most part. You do have one or two buildings, like around, say, 64th Street, where you have one project still. That's about it.
And as you can see, your new white mayor with his black wife will be overseeing your removal.
Oh, please.
Just like Barack Obama oversaw your extermination by white supremacy.
Stop. My head is about to explode. This is what I don't understand. How do people not see what these people are doing? This is what I don't understand. Okay? This mayor, this president, how do you not see? I'm not asking you to think about color and politics. All you have to do is add. Add. Subtract. Multiply. When they tell you the things that they want to do, it doesn't add up. Regardless of the fact that he may say whatever else, it does not add up. And furthermore, when it comes to the education, they have this thing called Common Core. I really shouldn't talk about it. I'll be very, very brief. But Common Core is meant a permanent underclass. It is meant to create a permanent underclass so that people can't graduate high school, they can't get their GEDs and so forth. I am telling you, for those who are in the sound of my voice, please, for God's sake, wake up. Wake up, okay, before it's too late. I'll say this last thing before I go, Jason. This is your calling, and God bless you for it. This is not something that I could do or I would do. But this is your calling. And may God bless you in your endeavors and in everything that you wish to do, because I couldn't do it. I don't have the patience for the nonsense that too many of our people put forth. God bless you, man, honestly. Do your thing.
Well, thank you very much, brother, and thank you for your insight on that. We definitely appreciate that. Please call us again. I'm just a Southern boy from Louisiana, and I can tell you, I've been through Manhattan. I've been through Harlem. I've been up and down those blocks. I've seen it with my own eyes from a place that gentrified black people with German shepherds and fire hoses and batons and the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, I know a thing or two about ethnic cleansing. And I'm telling you, that is exactly what you're witnessing happening in Manhattan and Brooklyn and the Bronx right now. I've been through there and I've seen it. That is exactly what's going on. This broadcast tonight has been exactly why you are being removed right now. Because I can keep you interested in gossiping about somebody else. Can't keep you interested in building. Can't keep you interested in that. But you will gossip about somebody else until your knees go out. Meanwhile, these other people are ethnically cleansing you with their finances. I can't keep you interested in finances, but we can watch as they annihilate you in Brooklyn and the Bronx and Manhattan and Harlem. We can watch as they annihilate you. That you are interested in. I'm discussing salvation. That you can't be bothered for. Sex. That you can be bothered for. You can talk about that for hours with a sick fetish. Priorities are I was about to say priorities better change, but you know what? No. Leave your priorities right where they are. All of you who would rather gossip, you are not fit to survive. All of you who would rather troll, you are not fit to survive. All of you who are interested in posting up all your booty pictures rather than building business, you're not fit to survive. All of you who would rather discuss interracial dating instead of interstate commerce, you are not fit to survive. All of you who would rather gossip about people and talk about me, but you can't show us one thing you built or one thing you own, you are not fit to survive. And the wheels are now turning to make sure that does not occur. And this is good. This is all good. Because you don't need to be here anymore. It's time to separate the money fakers from the money makers. It is time to separate the worthy from the worthless, the productive from the leeches. It's time. It's time. And I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to say it. And I'm not afraid to hear it. It's time. It's time. Let the thinning of the herd begin. Oh, I'm sorry. It's already started and off and running. I guess I have to remind you people. Guess I got to remind you who you're dealing with here. Who created the term genocide? who created the worldwide system of slavery? Did you forget how they took this land? Did you forget what they did to get it? Do you forget that they built monuments, plaques, named buildings and named schools, and named you after the men who did it? Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten that they perfected ethnic cleansing centuries ago? Have you forgotten that they were the ones who did that? Have you forgotten Hitler's pogroms? Stalin's pogroms? Paul Pot's pogroms? Have you forgotten that? Do you even know? But you think there's something more important that we can talk about than that. And you wonder, then you wonder why killing us is so easy. Because we're not even doing what an organism that desires to survive does. That's why. You've got better things to do than live. You can crank call me, and you can harass Melissa, and you can leave stupid comments on Facebook. White, let me tell you something about Facebook, people. Mark Zuckerberg set up Facebook as a business, and that's why he engineered it to be a benefit to business owners. White men go to Facebook to make money. Black folk go to Facebook to make noise. I get emails all the time from Twitter offering to increase my business. White men go to Twitter to make money. Black people go there to make noise. We've had enough noise. Let the thinning of the herd begin. No, let the thinning of the herd increase. This concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio program. I am the Black Authority. We'll be broadcasting tomorrow night. Join us then. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, black is the future. The future is uncompromising. Maybe you'll be a part of it.